welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah, good times. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
Take a little time to be quiet.
His new favorite drop.
Loaded up some new drops today.
Deepak Chopra, everybody.
Hi, boy.
866-901-ADAM, how say you? Now's the time. Ed Begley Jr. going to be on the show in a little bit. I have questions for Ed. I'm into the economy. I was talking to someone last night about my sort of overall plan of build electric cars.
Environment.
I'm sorry, I said economy, yes, in environment. And although maybe it was a nice little slip, because if we can get the economy involved with the environment, then we'll solve the problem. The way to solve every problem, not only in this economy, in this world, I mean, in this country, but in the world, is really just to make it profitable for somebody to make a car that has zero emissions.
Incentivize people.
Yeah, you know, asking people to turn in their bottles and cans is one thing. Offering them a nickel a bottle is another thing. And when you do that, somehow people do the right thing. I always ask if they just told you, pay the taxes that you think are fair. I'd be like, well, let's see. Don't have any kids in the public school system.
Library.
What's that?
Place with a book.
The house that lends the books?
Yes.
Never been in one of those. See, I'm not on welfare. I don't use the county health system.
911 calls?
Never called 911. Never been arrested. Never been through the judicial system. Don't have a parole officer assigned to me.
Kids going to public school.
Yeah, no kids in public school. Never called the cops, never called the fire department, never been, you know, airlifted from an accident. I have gotten some chicken-ass parking tickets.
How about emergency room visits that are on the county? Any of
no,
those?
No, never been in an emergency. No, have insurance, covered the birth of the kids. I'd say they owe me like $18 for tickets, I guess.
They owe you.
They should do your taxes like you do your taxes, which is the chicken-ass tickets are deductibles. You're just like, well, I already paid that $35.
Yes. If you left it up to me to decide what I pay the government, I'd go, I guess I got, you know what? Street lights are on most of the time in front of my house, and the garbage does get picked up. Well, I'll give them like to $1,500. Oh, no, it's $1,000,000. Really? For nothing. Interesting. So that's all I'm saying. If you left it up to people, they would not do the right thing. On the other hand, you give them incentives, and they will do the right thing. Now, the question that's going to be asking Ed Begley, is does he want, I believe the future is electric cars. The battery technology is moving in leaps and bounds. We're almost there. I mean, we're right on the precipice. Just 18 months from now, maybe 5 years from now, we'll have electric cars that are completely effective. They'll operate the same, and they'll have the kind of range that you would need in an electric car, let's say a couple hundred miles. I would say 5 to 10 years from now, somewhere in the 8-year range. If we started building nuclear power plants right now, which we'll never be able to do, but if we started building them right now, we could have a bunch of nuclear power plants and a bunch of electric cars 10 years from now. Oh, let's just push it. When my kids were getting their driver's licenses 14 and a half years from now, bunch of electric cars, bunch of nuclear power plants, no more gas stations. Plug the car right into the wall. And not every day either, because the range now would be 200 or 300 miles versus 80 miles.
Yeah.
Right. But I wonder what he's going to think about building the nuclear power plants.
I just want the audience to know that we will be in the cooch business today.
Oh, yes.
Just don't be afraid, because Mr. Skin will be on later with his anatomy awards.
Oh, wait, let me just say this,
not
too.
Not all biodiesel.
We have got a guest coming up at the end named Michelle Lombardo. The name might not mean anything to you. I did the research on her last night. If you watch the show Entourage, she is the director's hot girlfriend, the one who's always walking around.
Love
she's
her.
Crazy hot.
And yes. She's coming on, too.
She's coming in, too.
All right. Well, good times. Yes, I love Entourage. I love the director, even though everyone thinks he's over the top, Billy. And I love his super hot girlfriend and her underpants. Patrick?
Ace man.
What's happening, Patrick?
Hey, not a whole lot. Just enjoying the morning. How about yourself?
Good. Looks like death is at the door. Want to let him in?
Does death ring the doorbell?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me handle that real quick, actually.
All right, hang on then.
I want to know who it is.
I thought it'd be good.
Who rings that doorbell at 6:04 in the morning? All right, you want to talk to you, converting all my diesel bile, haven't listened for a while, what the hell's going on? Let's talk to Chris.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris?
What's going on, Ace Man?
What's happening, Chris?
Hanging and banging. So, all right, I don't take you guys out for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got laid off from my job.
Mm-hmm.
So I go on your website. Just
bong tester.
With the Ace Man, the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
I see that Ace Man's going on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
I see that T is engaged. And what's next? Teddy is engaged to Bonaducci. I mean, what's the next step here?
Mm. They're both redheads.
From your mouth to God's ears. Yeah. Bonaducci says he likes him a little younger than Teddy. Teddy's like 27.
Again, the sexuality notwithstanding, again, I don't listen for like 3-4 weeks, and what the hell has happened?
Well, time marches on, and things happen quickly in radio land, but why not? Just because you get laid off from your job doesn't mean you have to sleep in till noon every morning, does it?
Hey, what time is it right now? It's 6 a.m. I mean, I'm talking to you, aren't I?
I can dig it, but you're providing being laid off from your job as an excuse as to why you haven't listened to the show in a while.
Right. But, hey, ask me where I was working at before a month ago.
Where were you working at before a month ago?
I will tell you the industry.
Okay.
It was in radio.
Wow.
Mm.
And does that mean you were on?
This is Damashek.
Does that mean you were on the radio somewhere?
No, I not had the privilege of being on air.
Uh huh.
But let me just say, I had the privilege of selling air.
Uh huh.
Lederhosen.
Uh huh. So you were doing a little bit of sales.
Kind of.
All right. Well, anyway, Chris.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing I enjoy less than asking questions that I don't want to hear the answer to.
Again, but Ace.
Yes.
Is T really engaged, or is that some kind of another?
T's engaged, so you're going to have to move on to Dream Girl number two.
I mean,
It's frozen over. All right.
Lederhosen.
Chris sounds like he's maybe started the morning with a nip, or at least finished the evening with
a lot of nips. Yeah.
Yes. All right.
It
let's see.
Radio.
Who was at the door?
Oh, yes. Patrick. Patrick?
Ace.
Who was at the door?
That was just one of my janky customers, you know. I'm up serving the fiends at 6 in the morning, if you catch my meaning.
Ah, you're serving coffee.
Oh, no.
Serving pot.
No. You were right. Coffee, definitely.
All right.
Yeah.
Who comes to your house for coffee?
No, actually, I'm messing with you all the way around. I'm at my job right now working security.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But,
all right.
You know, I wanted to regale you with the story of the time I found out I should give up on improving myself in any way.
Okay, let's hear that.
Okay, well,
he's 22.
Yeah.
Yes, I've given up early. So I was in the fourth grade, and like most young kids, I had hopes, dreams, aspirations, and I wanted to be a pilot, you know, in the Air Force, flying the jets, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was discussing this with my fourth grade teacher. You know, one of those assignments, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Mm-hmm.
And I says to her, you know, I want to be in the Air Force. I want to be flying high with the Eagles, you know, just soaring up there.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, no, you can't do it. You wear glasses.
Wow, it's like that scene in Little Miss Sunshine where the retarded kid who wouldn't speak and wrote everything down on paper then found out one freaked out. Always unclear why he stopped speaking in that movie, but another one of those very cute Hollywood twists that we're all supposed to love.
It's cute going.
It's good stuff. Yes. That's right.
Well, before LASIK, could somebody with poor vision be a pilot?
No, they couldn't. I don't even think if you wear glasses, I think you can be a navigator or something, but you can't be a pilot.
Right, right. And I'm in the glasses category, you know, and this is before LASIK. This, well, I mean, it was around, but it really hadn't become the industry it is now.
Sure, this is, well, you're 22, so this is way back in 94.
Oh, all the way back.
Yeah.
Many, many moons ago.
Dark ages. Yeah, I didn't even know if they had glasses back then.
They would just put you down if you couldn't see.
Yeah, or maybe Ben Franklin whipped you up some bifocals.
Yeah.
All right, Patrick, so you found out you couldn't be an aviator.
Yep.
But either way, you wouldn't have had the grades to make it anyway.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, all right. So there you go. He had his dreams crushed, but he didn't become a doctor or an attorney. You have to be a good, you know, you want to know what jet pilot is? Jet pilot is to stupid guy what veterinarian is to stupid chick, which is every kid in the world, every American kid grows up and he sees Top Gun and he's like, wow, look at that. Well, that's a job. And then he hears a guy saying he feels the need for speed and turn and burn and all that stuff. I mean, there's not a 9-year-old boy, male on the planet that sees guys flying jet planes and doesn't go, I want to be a fighter jock. It's the coolest sounding gig in the world. Paul Bryan, you were probably about that age.
Prime time, man. I was 8 years old.
And
I
you're like,
way into,
I want to be a fighter jock.
You know, I would really wanted to play volleyball with my shirt off and slap. I mean, fighter pilot, totally.
You want to get in the danger zone.
Every guy wants to be a fighter jock growing up. Why? Because he loves airplanes and he has a need for speed. Every chick growing up wants to be a veterinarian. Why? Because she loves her kitty cat and she loves her dog and she loves a neighbor dog. Right. At a certain point, you find out it involves reading a bunch of books and taking a bunch of classes. And then that group of 100% immediately goes down to less than 1% of F this. So you have numbskulls like Patrick over here who make these proclamations. I'm going to make Patrick feel a lot better.
Oh, good.
Seeing how he's 22 and working as a security guard. He never would have made the cut. Aviation school is tough. It's tough physically. It's tough mentally. Obviously, if you're going to be buzzing around in $50 million planes, they want to make sure to separate the wheat from the chaff. They don't want any numbskulls, any stoners, anybody with bad vision, or anyone who might just think, I think I'm going to keep this plane. I'm going to land at my parents' place in Yuma.
On top of that, I have a couple of friends who went to Embry-Riddle, 92% guys. On campus. No chicks on campus.
Yeah. All right.
I think Patrick must feel better. You basically explained to him that his dreams were already dead. He just didn't know it.
That's right. He was too stupid to know he was too stupid to be a fighter jock. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. Someone wants to know what happened to my stalker.
Oh, yeah. We can ask Angie. She's been in touch.
Oh, really?
Not very recently, but she had been.
Someone's got a question about their future and about a job. And someone's converting all their diesel to biodiesel. Another Ed Bagley question, but I'm curious how it works. I do see the sticker, biodiesel. Well, we'll explain it later, but we'll do How Say You, and we'll mop up. 866-901-ADAM next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, and here's what's coming up this morning with Program Director Jack Silver.
Get her done, peeps! Today, comedian Larry the Cable Guy, actor and activist Ed Begley Jr., the stars of the new NBC show, Quarter Life. We take Craigslist across state lines for an all-Vegas edition of Who the F Sells This S? And Mr. Skin and his Anatomy Awards. Get it? It's a play on words, peeps. Kind of like when the Jackman says, I'd like to rape the new intern.
I just choked on my coffee. Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Dawson had coffee all over his shirt this morning. I was like, what happened, buddy? And he's like, forgot to put his finger over the carb. He actually drinks coffee out
right
of a bong. Yeah, and sometimes he doesn't
I waited for you, man.
Put his finger over the carb and he's pouring it down. It'll just go all over his hemp shirt.
Needlessly elaborate.
I know. Well, it's called commitment. Let's see. 2 weeks listening to the show. Any news of my stalker? All right, let's talk to Steve. Steve?
How's it going, Ace Man?
What's happening, Steve?
Hey, man, I was just thinking about it, and I was like, what happened to your stalker? You had that girl, Katie, I think, who came into the studio and was all...
Oh, that stalker. There have been two.
Yes.
Oh, there's two?
Katie came in, she had flown in. Mm-hmm. I think that was Katie, and she was obviously very addled. Her parents called. They were upset. We got her to the airport and flew her home. The second one came in, and she wanted a tattoo of your autograph on her stomach.
Right.
And we sort of determined during that segment that she might have not been all together.
Right. It's always weird to me when people that aren't all together can arrive places, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was wanting to get into radio for 10 years, lived in Los Angeles, had my wits about me, and couldn't figure out how to go to a radio station and somehow make my way into the radio station, whether it be answering the phones or driving the van. Yet people that are completely out of her mind, I mean, she thinks she's Josephine, and she gets on a plane in Chicago or wherever she's from, she flies out here, somehow gets from the airport to here. How do you do that when you're that nuts? Do you know what I mean? People are more functional than we give them credit for. Then when they get here, it turns out they're nuts.
It's but like a traveling savant.
Yeah, how the hell did they get here? All right, I don't know what happened to either one of them. I never, ever think about it. I don't know if producer Angie gets updates or inquiries.
The signature girl emailed both Angie and I, and she was very angry. Especially at me, because I asked her if she was on medication. I didn't want her to get a tattoo when she wasn't on her meds and not of sound mind.
Right.
So she was angry, and she emailed both Angie and I. And then a few months ago, she emailed with a conciliatory tone and wanting to come back on.
Uh-huh.
She really wants that tattoo, and we didn't respond because we didn't want to engage.
Uh-huh. I don't think about my stalkers, actually. I don't give any consideration. Basically how my life works. I always have a bunch of junk in front of me, a bunch of projects that I want to finish.
Yeah.
And I just focus on the junk that I want to finish. It's a good way not to sort of stew in your juices. You'll stew in the juices of the project that's in front of you, but you don't really spend that much time looking in the rearview mirror. If you were putting a second story on your house, sort of perpetually, even symbolically, I don't mean symbolically, but what I mean is if you always had a project going,
right,
you realize you have almost no time just to sit around and go, I wonder what happened to, or I never talked to you. You're constantly like,
yes.
Where's the drywall guy? Where's the framer guy? Where's the permit guy? You'll constantly do that. So I sort of live my life that way. Thus, I wouldn't even, if you asked me if I had stalkers, I would say no. All right, let's see.
I make time to stew in my own juices and other people's. I worry about their problems, too.
Hey, Dallas.
I'm expensive.
Yes, sir. You only have 2 weeks to listen to the show?
I do. I've been up here in Portland, Oregon for the last couple of years. I listen to you guys every single day. You guys are
good. Thank you.
Awesome. Or Teresa, you're beautiful. I see you on the website. Brian, you're funny as hell, man.
Huh?
Same as you, Adam.
Thank you.
And I've got 2 weeks to go. I moved back to Arizona, and my hometown is Yuma. You just mentioned it a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that we can pick you up down there at all.
Well, I do believe via the wonder of the World Wide Web, you can listen to the show no matter where you are.
Well, the only problem with that is I work for Miller Lite. I'm a salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
I drive around from a store to store.
Yeah, you can download and VCast and iPod.
Yeah, you'll be a day
whatever.
Behind, but you can podcast.
Yeah, to podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think you can do it on an MP3 or you can do it on an iPod.
AdamCarolla.com. You get all the episodes and listen to it a day late.
Most people actually prefer it that way.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't know that. That's like a good question to ask.
You can skip through a fake Jack Silver.
And how much, by the way, how much
and
is...
And the news.
You can skip through the whole show. It only takes about 11 minutes to listen to 4 hours of radio. And you can get an MP3 player for $40 now, right?
Yeah, I've got an iPod.
Oh, you got an iPod?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Just do it that way.
I will do that. It just, I was kind of bummed. I was like, dang, now I listen to you guys every single day.
No, I can dig it. It happens all the time. As a matter of fact, half the calls we get are from places we're not even on in, so you can join the ranks.
I will do.
All right, Dallas.
Thank you very much for the kind words, Dallas.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Good times.
Have a nice day.
All right, let's see.
Leverhosen.
Somebody wants to do something with a car. Hey, Thane.
Good morning, Adam.
What's happening, Thane?
Well, I just listened to you this morning there. If you want to get involved in doing that car, let me build you the full-scale prototype model for whatever you want.
What do you do for a living, Thane?
I tool and design for the marine industry. I build the full-scale prototypes for boat hulls and decks.
Mm-hmm. How big do you go?
Well, the last one I just, right in the middle of right now, it's 44 feet. B-bottom offshore race type boat.
Oh, you build the racing offshore. Yeah. The racing boats are nuts. You want to talk about something? There's two pieces of math I can't figure out as far as racing goes. Number one, actually, is not the V-bottom offshore boats. The offshore boats are the boats, I'll sort of just say your Miami Vice kind of boats, your speed boats. They call them offshore because they run pretty close to the shore. Some of them get close to 200 miles an hour, 175, 180 miles an hour in like sort of the unlimited open class. They're powered by like four diesel turbocharged engines. Some have jet engines, helicopter engines that they turn props, but they're helicopter engines, and they're fairly dangerous. It's the one they like the princess, what's her name of Monaco's husband died in about eight years ago, Carolyn. Yeah, it's kind of a dangerous endeavor, and it's just boom, 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 and they have two guys. One guy is the throttle guy, and the other guy steering the boat. And the throttle guy's working the trim, and depends how the water goes and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
These machines must cost several hundred thousand dollars a piece.
And in the millions.
And into the millions. I don't know where the money is coming from to build the boat. I know there's sponsorship, but how much money is there for Budweiser to spend on a boat that is just driving offshore?
Well, it's mostly the person itself are the ones that are financing the program. They'll bring a sponsor on, but that's only just a minimal part of it. It's usually the owner of the boat that's putting up the dime.
Here is the other sport. And again, I understand how NASCAR works. Viagra sponsors the car, Miller Lite sponsors the car, Budweiser sponsors the car, and
they get a lot of exposure.
They get hours and hours and hours of exposure on Fox every single Sunday, whereas these guys don't get the exposure, and their vehicles are more expensive than the NASCARs are. I mean, I could build a NASCAR for $200,000 that could be competitive. You can't build one of these offshore boats for $200,000 that would be competitive, correct?
You can't get your drive engine packages for... You can spend up to $200,000-$300,000 aside for a motor and drive.
And then they run for a couple of races, and everything needs to be torn down and redone because of the salt there and the salt water and the corrosiveness and so on and so forth.
The constant pounding,
too.
Correct.
Now, the other thing, and by the way, how much do I know about everything? Now,
well, you're pretty sharp right there.
Now,
who else has got some stories?
As you're falling asleep. Now,
Brian, can you throw something at me?
Here is the other, but
just waiting to hear that move along, Danny.
This pales in comparison to the most expensive endeavor in the world.
Tell Danny to move on.
that gets you no money in return. Are you ready?
Yes.
Tractor pulls. These guys, if you ever see the tractor pull, they have a tractor.
If
it's a highly modified tractor. This tractor has five blown Chevrolet 454 big block engines in it. Each engine costs $60,000. There's five of them in the front of this tractor. There's three of them are stacked, and then two of them are to the right and the left facing longitudinally or latitudinally or the other way. Somehow they all get driven through the same transmission. Just that alone, taking five big block dragster engines, essentially feeding them all through one transmission. You have a $500,000 tractor that then pulls a weighted sled 80 feet and comes to a stop, and a bunch of hillbillies cheer.
You know, there are some things.
Who pays for that tractor?
If you know more about certain things, you seem less intelligent. This
is one of those things.
Well, all of this reminds me of a question I've been dying to ask. How was dance practice yesterday?
Get her done.
Get her done.
This is your outlet for dancing with the stars.
Thanks. Seriously, bigger waste of money, the offshore racing or the tractor pulling?
The boats are more expensive, but I tell you, some of those tractors are like an engineering feat in themselves, you know?
Yeah, and the boats cost more, but the tractors have a small, like, STP sticker on the fender, and that's it. I don't know. Evidently, we should stop subsidizing these farmers, because if they have enough for $400,000 tractors, we're paying them too much. So, Thane, you'd like to build me something?
Yeah, like if, you know, I hear you talk about your cars and stuff, like any type of car you have, I could build you the full-scale prototype. You wouldn't know which one's the model and which one's the actual vehicle.
Well, Thane, that sounds like a lot of work, but, you know, what I am looking at doing is, I am looking at painting a car. I don't know if you know anybody who does that. And
one of the best, actually. But
you do, huh?
Yep. I'll give you a number off the air, but not on there.
All right, and I'm also looking for someone to knock out, well, you know what? We'll talk off the air, Thane. Let me give you hang on, and Teddy will get your number.
What car do you want to paint, and what color?
I want to paint a Lamborghini, and we need to talk about the color off the air, but I don't have a good paint.
Generally
color.
Orange.
Mm-hmm. Generally orange.
Confederate flag.
Hopefully the color doesn't change after Dancing with the Stars.
To what, pink or something?
Oh,
come on.
Come on, buddy. Yeah, I had a couple hours of practice. But again, I talk most of the way through the practice, so I don't get a lot of practice.
Yeah.
In.
Has Julianne been able to finish a sentence in her teaching you?
Who's Julianne?
That's your partner.
Hmm?
Your dance partner?
No, I dance.
She's an expert.
Oh, right.
The one who's doubled over in laughter all throughout the rehearsal.
With all my Leonard Skinner references.
Right.
Yes.
She's 19.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Are you sore or anything today?
No, but you do kind of feel it in your calves. Again, I do more talking than dancing.
How's your jaw?
limber.
Oh, boy. Someone's official in offshore racing, wants to leave their beverage job for a sales job. Let's see. Thoughts on Ralph Nader.
Yeah, he says he's running, Ralph Nader.
Let me go quick on Nader. Hey, Mark?
Yeah.
I heard Nader make his announcement on Face the Whatever or McNeil whatever the hell he did on Sunday morning.
Yeah, I was watching it too.
You know, everyone thinks he's a nut job, and maybe he is, and everyone thinks he's screwing it up for the Democrats. But as he said, look, we have two parties that are essentially the same, and they're in the hip pockets of special interest groups and lobbyists. Are you saying there's no room for a third party in this country?
I found his points very compelling.
I did too. Obviously, look, it's not your job to go, hey man, if you do this, do you know how it's going to affect that guy? Unless you physically go do something to that guy. It's like saying, hey Teresa, you have a radio job. Well, you know there's someone else who'd like to have a radio job who doesn't have a radio job now just because you have a radio job. T.S. And it's the same like with syndication. Hey, you guys are on Portland and on in Seattle, so now somebody's out of a job. I guess so, but that's the way life works. Nader is allowed to run. He's allowed to do whatever he wants. I do believe there's room for third parties. Never going to win. Maybe he's going to take away a very crucial couple percentage points from probably people that would have gone Democrat. I think the Democrats have it this year, and I don't think those couple of points one way or the other is going to make the difference. But I like living in a country where folks get to run versus when you hear about the Philharmonic making the pilgrimage over to North Korea, where most people who have TV sets and radios have them sanctioned by the government. Not exactly what I'm looking for. That's one government there. I like the idea. You know, if you really look at it, okay. Americans made crappy cars in the 70s. And then what happened? We opened up the ports. Japanese cars started pouring in. German cars started pouring in. Now American cars are much better. Why? Competition. Flat screen TVs used to be very expensive. Now everyone makes a flat screen TV and there's competition. Thus, your flat screen is going to be much cheaper and much better than the one you bought 5 years ago because everyone and their brother's making a flat screen TV. And if you're like me, cordless drills. Makita made the only cordless battery-operated drill for 10 or 12 years. They were expensive. They worked fine, but that was it. Now everyone makes one. They're cheap. They're great. We're all competing. Why not that way with government? I would love a third party to come in and go, hey, I got ideas. I got answers. I got a plan, and let's mix it up. I like the competition. I'm fine with Nader running.
It expands the conversation.
Yes.
At the very least.
I don't know if I agree with him on the sort of, anti-big business for all the way across the board, but it's his privilege and his right to run, and nobody should be whining about him running.
Now,
all right.
The difference is we go into markets like Palm Desert and things like that where Mark's calling from to be number one and to do a great radio show and to win, essentially. And Lexus and all these Japanese car companies come over to sell their cars. And
win the market
share. They don't come over to ruin things for Ford and GM.
Right.
Whereas Nader, I would be okay with it if he had any chance of winning. But he doesn't. I believe he's only in it to be the spoiler.
I don't know what's in his head. That may be true. You know, again, politically, there's always this discussion as I see Ed Begley in the hallway. It's the same thing I bring up when we were talking about alternative fuels, greenhouses, zero emissions, so on and so forth. 25 years ago, somebody brings it up and says, how about windmills? And someone goes, oh, that's not, come on, that's what, 2%? That's not going to do anything. And then someone says, how about solar? Please, what is that, 3%? That's not going to do anything. Everything starts with a, come on, Nader's not, what's Nader going to get, 1% of the vote, 2%? That's not going to do anything. True, it's not. And true, he's not going to win. But just like if we'd gotten started on zero emission vehicles 20 years ago, maybe now we'd be reaping the benefits of that. Maybe Ralph Nader's not going to win. Of course he's not going to win. But maybe 20 years from now, when our kids are voting, although I don't think the Corollas will be voting, but if they let them out of rehab long enough to vote, or if they bring one of the polling places to the rehab center, which I've long said they should do, then maybe there will be a three-party system. So he maybe is on the vanguard of this, and his children's children can enjoy this. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Ed Begley Jr., much to discuss with actor and activist Ed Begley Jr. next.
And then we'll take it higher. Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I've saved a lot of money doing all this stuff. Some of it I've saved short term. Some of it has been a long term payback. But everything I've done for the environment has been good for my pocket. My wife finally busted me on this. She said, you don't really care about the environment. I said, what did you say? She said, you're just cheap.
And now actor and environmental activist Ed Begley Jr. on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's funny. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Adam.
I'll tell you how dumb I am. I was looking at this card and it says, father was an Oscar-winning actor. And then I thought, I wonder who her whose father was. Marlon Brando? No. Wait a minute. Ed Begley Jr. So your dad is Ed Begley
Sr.
Sr., and he won an Oscar.
Sweet Bird of Youth. 1962 movie. Wonderful film.
Yeah, Tennessee Williams.
Yes, right? Exactly right.
A lead supporting?
A supporting. Paul Newman, Geraldine Page were in it, Rip Torn, all wonderful. My dad won the Oscar. He was in 12 Angry Men. He was in, so many wonderful movies. Unsinkable Molly Brown. He was in lots of films. A great actor. Died 1970. I still miss him. He was terrific.
Does he have lots of great stories about old Hollywood?
Oh, yeah.
And lots of stories about how much real estate he could have bought and didn't. Because my family's from out here, too, and my grandma will be like, Sunset Boulevard used to be all bean fields and chicken ranches. And I'm like, why didn't you buy something, bitch?
I know. We lived right across the street from a lima bean patch in the valley. I mean, back in the 40s when my dad bought the home.
It's called Studio City now, yeah. And your dad could have bought it for $8 an bucks. Acre, and it would, you'd be the richest man on the planet yep. right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody knew. So you're an old Valleyite.
I am. I grew up in a home. People say, how can you live in this little house in Studio City where I live now? It's 1,585 square foot. That's the size of the house I grew up in, grew up in Van Nuys, you know, on Valerio. So I've been in a house that size my whole life, so it's very comfortable to me. And there was a lot of agriculture in the valley in the 50s when I was growing up there. In the 40s, even more so, when my dad bought the place. But there mm-hmm. was, you know, I saw a change over the years. And, you know.
Yeah, the valley used to be not only big for agriculture, lots of orange fields and groves lots. And things like that, but lots of hunting. The San Fernando Valley used to have a lot of hunting lodges and things like that.
They hunt antelope, I believe.
And they would go out, and, you know, as a matter of fact, and I know we're digressing now, but I've always found it to be an interesting story. From the Little Rascals, what was the guy's, Alfalfa, the guy's hair stuck up?
Yeah.
He, later on in life, beside being an alcoholic, was a hunting guide.
You're kidding.
Bad combination.
And
yeah,
I know,
bad combo.
Very,
wanna go hunting?
Very bad, yeah.
I'll load.
Let's get loaded. You get the gun. Well, it did get him killed because he went out in the valley and he borrowed his friend's hunting dog to go out taking some tourists out or something hunting.
Oops.
The dog got lost. He put like a $10 reward up for finding the dog. The dog was found. He didn't want to pay the reward. He went for a knife and the guy shot him. That's how he died. In his 30s for like a $10 dog reward. Little Alfalfa. But that's the valley. What high school did you go to, Ed?
I went to Van Nuys High.
Wow.
I went to Notre Dame, Chaminade, and then I graduated Van Nuys. I went there summer school, and I had something the other schools didn't have. They were all boys' schools back then. They had women, and so I said, hey, I want to go to Van Nuys, Dad. I wore him down. He let me go to Van Nuys my final year.
Yeah, Notre Dame is now co-ed, but before, back in the day, it was an all-boys school. I went to North Hollywood High, so I'm an old Valley guy myself. But let's talk about the environment, Ed, because I do feel like you were considered, I'm going to try to be kind here, eccentric.
Don't be kind, Adam. Yeah.
You were the butt of a few jokes 10 years ago,
more
15 years
yeah.
ago with this stuff. And now it's coming around to guess who was right all along, Ed Begley Jr., right?
Well, I don't know about that. There were some things that I believed then that I still believe now, certainly. But, you know, whenever people get on board, it's fine by me. There's no time for I told you so. People are really starting to get a connection between their actions and the pollution in a city like L.A. or Bakersfield or Houston, their actions and our dependence on Mideast oil, you know, and people want to do something.
Can I ask you a few things? Because I'm a lay person, but I have ideas. And I used to be in the building field. I used to be a general contractor.
Wow.
And when you build, there are nothing but codes. And there are things you've never dreamt of. I mean, there are codes that normal people couldn't wrap their brain around.
Crazy, arcane
Crazy,
rules,
arcane things. And you say, I don't understand. Why do I need this or why? And that's the rule. All building is one big fat code.
Yes.
How come there's not a few more codes that would work for the environment? How come everything has to do with safety, everything has to do with structural safety, everything has to do with, you know, earthquake safety, fire safety, but how come there's not more involving insulation? And there's some, but they could do a lot more. How come there's not more, like, for instance, every new house should have a tankless water heater, let's say. That should just be
right.
a code. It costs $80 more than a conventional
right.
water heater. It takes up one quarter of the space and pays for itself in 10 minutes. Why isn't that a code? Why isn't a code that there's some sort of solar component to every new home or some way to collect rainwater? Why? You know, there's tons of codes you're building anyway. People go, oh, well, do you realize the expense it would add? Well, you don't. Do you know how much expense has already been added with all the codes that are involved with safety and everything else? This would be a pittance compared to that. Why not? Why isn't every new house and every new building built have compact fluorescence in it?
Right.
Why do these governments and these governors and these mayors make these proclamations? Hey, by 2010, we're going to have all city buildings swapped over to compact fluorescent. These things have been around for 15, 20 years. Yeah. What happened?
I know the codes are evolving slowly, but too slowly. My house is a perfect example. It's a 1936 house that I've been doing a retrofit on to make it more energy efficient. When I blew insulation in the walls years ago, there was shards of newspaper in the walls. You could still read it from 1936.
Yes.
And that's what they put in there to insulate. There was no code for insulation in 1936. There is now and has been for years, of course, but they didn't have these things.
Now you're doing blown cellulose.
Yeah, I blew in cellulose in the walls. I put double pane windows. I put in a recycled denim in the attic and did all this stuff, and it was great. But here's the great thing. For people who put and incorporate it in the cost, as you wisely suggest, if you put solar on the rooftop, for instance, right away, the first month you take possession of that home with solar, a modest amount of solar on a new house, you're into profit month one.
Right.
On your electric bill, because you're amortizing that, whatever, 20 grand that after the state subsidies is down to 10 grand, you amortize that over the 30-year loan, you're into profit with your first utility bill. And you could do it with gray water systems, you can do it with all the code should be double pane windows the way it is back east. Back east, it gets really cold. People came out here and, oh, it's not cold like it was in Buffalo. Yeah, but it's hot. You know, I mean, for God's sake, a thermos works both ways. They should have all those codes.
Well, plus, look, it gets down, especially in the San Fernando Valley, where Ed and I hail from. You can just see the statue in front of the North Hollywood Library
exactly.
of Amelia Earhart, Ed Begley Jr., and me.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell which is which.
A triad of great
arms around each other with one propeller
yeah, exactly.
in between us. But the point is, look, it still gets down into the 30s, and you still have to turn the heat on.
Exactly.
So why not have double glazed windows?
It gets hot, and it does get cold in the valley.
All I'm screaming about is anyone who's ever gone and tried to do anything to their house and gone down to Van Nuys or gone down to Los Angeles and tried to pull a permit has had 1,000 rules and regulations tossed at them. What's 1,003?
Yeah.
How about you tack on a couple more for something that not only makes sense. I would gladly pay the extra $40 or $80 for the tankless water heater system because I could at least get that money back versus all the other kooky nutty stuff you're having me do that makes no sense to me and I never get a return on my investment.
The U.S. Green Building Council is lobbying regularly cities like L.A., cities around the country with some success. They're getting these kinds of codes to meet
We should be on the vanguard of this. We should be leading the world in this instead of hanging behind and dragging our feet.
Yeah. There is a Vanguard water heater. You're not going to believe it. It's actually more efficient than the tankless. It's called the A.O. Smith water heater, and it's 95% efficient. A good tankless is 85. Some get close to 90. This is 95. I just put one in my house. It's amazing. They have technology now that'll blow you away, and that's what we should be adopting. If not the platinum lead standard or the gold, just silver should be the minimum lead standard.
I agree, and then we get into these things, and I don't think of myself as Republican or Democrat. I just think of myself as whatever makes sense. And somebody will say, hey, we should make it a rule that everybody has to switch over to compact fluorescence versus the old school light bulbs. And then the Republican AM radio guys get their panties all in a bunch and talk about, I'm not going to have some jackbooted thug come to my house and force me. They don't realize that the government tells you what to do anyway. It tells you how fast to drive. It tells you how much in taxes to pay. It takes a picture of your car if you go through the intersection a millisecond too late and sends you a ticket in the mail. Why not have them tell us to do something that makes sense, that saves us money? Yes, they mandate that you, when you drive around, you have a child seat. It's for the safety of your child. There's many, many codes, many mandates they have. why not these? I think we're way behind on this, and it's sort of embarrassing, and Ed was right, and we all owe him an apology. Teresa, apologize to Ed Bagley,
I want to be
Jr.
the first to say I'm sorry if I ever judged you. Now it appears that you were the pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
And look at all these other Hollywood types following these Leonardo DiCaprio.
I'm sorry! Remember when he was riding around on his beach cruiser in the 80s and we were all laughing and now everyone's pulling up at the Oscars and the Emmys and their Prius thinking their poop doesn't stink. We need to take ourselves a break. Ed Bagley Jr.'s here. He has a book, Living Like Ed, a guide to the eco-friendly life. It's new. It's in bookstores now. We'll take a break. Ed, you hang out?
Oh, yeah.
You'll listen to me rail at the government
a
little more?
I'll rail with you. Let's rail
you.
Together.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with Ed next.
This morning, a visit from Mr. Skin, the guy mentioned in the movie Knocked Up. He's going to run through the Anatomy Awards.
Yay!
Must be a list of naked people in movies.
Boobs.
Larry the Cable Guy is with us.
Internet!
T and the Ace Man are going to dish out some free relationship advice. We're going to scan Craigslist in Las Vegas and find out who the f*** sells this sh-.
Go to Craigslist and look under loser.
Teresa Strasser reports the news.
Oh, T, you bitch! You bitch!
Powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today? Call 866-901-ADAM and stream the Adam Carolla Show at AdamCarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live.
I pay taxes, bitch.
And now, Adam Carolla.
Ed Bagley Jr. here. Someone has a question about his home air conditioning system, but quickly, just because I hate the man that much, I will tell you, and we were talking to Ed about the government, how slow they are to move, and the building department and the codes. Let me let you in on something. The dishwasher was invented probably in the 40s or 50s. They've been in use for about 50 years in homes. They have to have a little breather air gap. It's that little weird chrome little snorkel
yes.
thing you see
yes.
up on people's countertops.
Sure.
The reason it has that air gap is so that the water from the dishwasher doesn't get, the sewage water doesn't get mixed in with the dishwasher water and sort of pollute your dishes. It's a safety device.
Right.
That was around for about 35 or 40 years, and then some European company figured out a way to do a loop and not grind a hole in your countertop and put a snorkel in your countertop.
Right.
It is an air gapless system.
Like a check valve of some sort.
Right. The higher end ones have it, the Fisher Paykel or whatever.
Right.
I was remodeling a kitchen in a house I no longer have, and I put that one in. I put the Fisher whatever one in.
Uh-oh.
And when you read the manual of the company that makes the thing somewhere in Sweden, it says, here's how you install it with an air gap, and here's how you install it with no air gap, if you'd like to go this route, meaning not bore a hole
right.
in the top of your countertop. And I said, well, I don't want to bore a hole on top of my countertop, so I'll do it this way. But when the inspector comes over, what does he say? Where's the air gap? And I say, hey, look at the manual. Unnecessary. And he says, oh, no, it's not. We want to see an air gap. And I say, that law was put on your retarded books in 1953 when dishwashers needed air gaps. And he says, I don't care. I want to see an air gap.
Yep.
And I say, but it's unnecessary. The manufacturer of the product does not require it, and it works just fine. And he says, no, I'd like to see one, or I won't sign off
on
your kitchen.
Off.
So what do? I get under the sink. I take the soap dispenser thing out. I put the air gap thing in the hole where the
Good.
Soap dispenser thing is. I hook up a bunch of stuff. I cut my finger turning a bunch of pipe
Sure.
clamps, and I hook it up. He comes over. He signs off. Then I pull the whole thing apart and I put the soap dispenser back
yep.
in. Then I do a new kitchen. That's in the house I'm in now 10 years later. And what happens?
Oh, no.
The guy shows up and he says, where's the air gap? I've been using the goddamn thing for five years now. No problemo. That's what the manufacturer says. He says, I will take the manufacturer's book back with me and consult with the plumbing expert back in building and safety in Van Nuys. 2 days later, he comes back and he says, I'm going to need to see that air gap, which means I have to drill a hole in my counter or stick on a fake one so he can sign it off. That's how archaic, retarded, and bureaucratic these guys are. Are you telling me that they couldn't put a few more rules in with all the sea of rules about insulation or double pane glasses or anything like that? Of course they could. What's wrong with them?
They're going to do it now. They're doing it every year. There's more and more rules that give you better insulation, more energy efficiency. I think it needs to happen quicker. If that's what you're saying, I agree.
Can we talk to Ed about his book?
Yes.
Momentarily?
Yeah. Sure.
Living Like Ed?
I'll talk about anything.
A Guide to the Eco-Friendly Life?
Yeah.
I agree with Adam. The man should be helping us out and making regulations. But in the meantime, what can we do today to help us live more eco-friendly and more cheaply?
And that's what the book is about, to pick the low-hanging fruit first, to do the stuff that's the cheapest and easiest first. And what we recommend, many things you can do today that are super cheap. Buy a compact fluorescent bulb. Get an energy-saving thermostat. Ride a bike if weather and fitness permit. Take public transportation if it's available near you. Plant a vegetable garden out back if you got a little piece of dirt in your front or backyard. Live in an apartment. Get part of a community garden. There's so many things that you can do, many of which I just listed, which are dirt cheap. And that's what I did in 1970. I was a struggling actor. I didn't have any money in 1970 when I started this stuff. I did the cheap and easy stuff first because I had no money. And I learned, much to my surprise, I was doing it for the environment. I went, what's this? I got extra money this month. Where did that come from? And I saved more money and I did more
selling
things.
Selling pot from the garden.
Well, there's that too.
What was in that garden, Ed?
That's true. Well, there's that. Okay, I left that out. But the point I'm trying to make...
420-pound corn.
I saved some money from the composting, too.
Sure.
And the bike riding.
Well, yeah, that's what I keep saying about the dual glazed glass or the extra insulation in the wall or the compact fluorescence. Don't do it for me. Do it for you.
Yeah.
You'll save money.
Well, Adam stopped getting all his junk mail. He just told the mailman, I don't want it.
Yeah, right.
How did you do that?
No, they keep delivering the junk mail.
I tried. I went to all those lists that I did.
Of course.
Send a mail a thing here to the thing in New York.
I haven't succeeded in this.
No, it's never worked.
Can I ask you this, Ed? Apartment buildings.
Yeah.
Apartment buildings, to the best of my knowledge, don't have recycling programs. Now, their garbage is contracted out. The city doesn't do it. They do, private firms do it.
Right.
Do they recycle it? And how does it work? And what do you know about that?
Some of them do. Most apartment buildings, they don't want to pay the extra tariff because it does cost some money to do it. But what they have, some inventive programs they have now, you have like the Blue Bin LADWP program. They have a blue bag program in apartment buildings. You put in a blue bag in the same dumpster. Then when the dumpster goes to the tipping floor and they unload it, you know, at a MRF or something, materials recovery facility, they can just take those blue bags out.
Where
and
do
take
I get
them.
A blue bag?
There's got to be a program in place. I think Waste Management might even do a blue bag program. There's some waste haulers that do it now. Browning Ferris of Waste Management, one of those waste haulers has a blue bag program, I believe, which is the best way to do it in an apartment building.
Ed, can I just say this again? Because I hate the man. I lived in an apartment building for most of my adult life, and I was doing the math on these apartment buildings. There were formerly two houses where there's now five stories and 50 units.
Yeah.
I mean, originally, there were just two single-family houses. It usually takes the footprint of about two single-family houses where 8 or 10 people reside. They tore it down. They built a five-story unit. It has 50, a five-story building, has 50 units in it. There's now 200 people creating that much trash in that same space. Times hundreds of thousands in just the San Fernando Valley alone. Now, 15 years ago, I said, hey, I want to recycle. I have my cans. I have my bottles. I want to separate them. I want to put them somewhere. What can we do? And I called the city and they said, we have a pilot program we're working on. They did nothing. I had to collect everything and take it to the recycling center myself.
Yeah.
A friend who works on the show, Mike, said to me 8 months ago, I moved to North Hollywood. I live in an apartment building. I said, do they have a recycling program? He said, no, I called the city. I said, what did they say? He said, they're starting a pilot program for it.
Mm. The pilot was Amelia Earhart. Disappeared.
I know. How lame are we? How little do we care about this? I mean, it seems to me that one apartment building, one five-story apartment building, creates the amount of garbage as 25 houses. Why isn't more being focused on recycling just at the apartment level?
We're going to have to, Adam. You're right, because now the cost of taking the trash to Eagle Mountain or whatever they plan on taking it by rail and all that stuff, and the people at Sunshine Canyon don't want that trash anymore. Who can blame them with all the diesel trucks in the valley?
Do we blame Villa Retardo for this? Because I feel like he's a horrible mayor. He can't fill a pothole. He's done what? What has he done?
He's trying to do a lot of green initiatives.
Is he green?
He's done brown. A lot of stuff so far.
He works on brown. That's
all. He's done a lot of stuff for the environment, too.
Like what?
And
why no apartment building stuff?
It's hard to do. Well, it's harder.
Hold on a second.
I did it in 1970.
He's putting a camera up in every single intersection to take a picture of you so you can have a ticket
it's
waiting for you
that.
When you get
You're
home.
Right.
So it's easier than that, is it not?
A lot easier.
All right, then what is he doing?
He's done a lot of green initiatives with the DWP and others, pushed for a lot of green power that other mayors have not. He's really done a lot for green power. He's done.
Where is it?
There's a much greater mix now coming in the LADWP because of him.
Where's my apartment building recycling?
We're gonna get it. I'm gonna
what
work
year
on.
Is it?
Take a little time to be quiet.
What year are we living in?
In 1970, I recycled in my apartment. They said it was hard then in 1970, and I had a big can that I saved there. They thought
but
it was crazy.
But who do we blame? I mean, why? Look, let's put it this way. We all know the city is very effective when they want to be effective
right.
at something. Goddamn, drive around and see how good they are at handing out parking tickets. See how many meter maids are out on the beat. I see two and three of them piled up. I saw two or three of them just like congregating, like a gaggle of them the other day. Think about
they get
how,
so much cash from
yes,
that. Sure.
Okay, they're great. They're awesome when they're taking money from you.
Right.
Why don't you take some of the money that you take from us and put it toward these programs that we could actually use instead of harassing us?
I agree.
So what's Villaraigosa doing about it?
He's done a lot on the solid waste issues. He's done a lot for cleaning up the Santa Monica Bay. Historically, when he was in the state legislature, he did a lot too. He has a very good environmental record, and I'll get you some details. I'm not just giving general stuff. I will get you that today, I promise you.
What about on the national level, Ed? Big debate tonight amongst the Democrats. Who are you supporting?
I was originally supporting John Edwards. He's, as you know, out of the race now. So now I'm supporting Obama. Rochelle, my wife, wants to kill me. She's a big fan of Hillary's. And so it's a lot of tension in the household. But
I like that.
Will you watch the debate tonight between those two?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm. You and the wife?
Oh, no, she's going back east. She's got to visit her family back east. So she I don't know if she'll be there in time to watch it. No, she won't. So we'll have to report to her.
Like when things get heated in the Ed Begley Jr. house, are there threats like, don't make me take my Birkenstocks off?
Exactly.
Take my Birkenstocks off.
I've never owned Birkenstocks, but my hemp shoes, which I have on right now. They're not hemp. Bamboo.
Bamboo shoe.
Recycled tire.
Don't make me drop the bamboo dogs. And then she pulls out one of those can crusher things and starts waving it around.
Right.
Come on!
You have one of Villaraigosa's cameras in my home, don't you?
You're watching
you
me.
You want somebody?
Trying to get me to do something crazy with her, but I'm not going
to
do it.
You came to the right place. Ed pulls out a Boda bag and starts swinging it over his head. Come
on!
Been reading my mail, mister.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
You have a question about Ed's air conditioning system?
I do. Ed?
Yeah.
Can't wait to buy your book, by the way.
Thank you.
I love watching your show. We've just done a remodel on our house.
Mm-hmm. The show Living with Ed, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. And I have my Ed checklist, and I've got bamboo floors in.
Wow, good for
you. I have my little toilets, got a tankless water heater.
Great. Bamboo floors, fast-growing crop.
Fast-growing, very strong wood.
Very strong and very plentiful.
And it looks great.
It looks great, too.
Great.
Right.
Bamboo's a great way to go. You're doing good.
That's your win-win.
It sure is.
It looks good. It's durable. It doesn't hurt the environment. Why not do it over red oak? All right, sorry, go ahead, Lisa.
You were my inspiration, because I had fallen in love with these walnut floors, and then I said, no, I can't do it.
I love you, thank you, you're my inspiration.
What about the air conditioning question
you had for him? I saw something on one of your shows last year that had something, it was some sort of system for your air conditioning unit. We just bought a new AC unit, and to be honest with you, it's the AC is a big source of frustration between my husband and I, because he's the crazy penny pincher, and he's turning it off, and I'm turning it on, and trying to keep, you know, the kids cool, and I went to Home Depot, and I can't find it.
Okay, it's called Cool and Save. You can find it at livingwithed.net, livingwithed.net, and just click on the right there, one of the products that Ed uses, or drop me an email at edbegley.com, whatever you can remember or write down now. But the thing is, a swamp cooler, if you want to install one of those, it'll make your air conditioner work a lot less. You put them in a window, and you don't have to turn the air on as much, a ceiling fan. But this thing, Cool and Save, what it does is it pre-cools the coil. The coil is outside the compressor. If it's making cool air in your house, that has to make hot air somewhere, that's outside your house, and this is a little thing that puts a mist, very little water, doesn't use much water at all, and it pre-cools the coil. It seems to work pretty good. It worked at my house. So it's called Cool and Save,
and it's livingwithed.com.
.net, actually. Sorry, livingwithed.net.
Because I went to Living with ED.
Well,
and it was a
what
totally
did Rochelle tell you? Living with erectile dysfunction.
It was a totally different
what
website.
What did Rochelle tell you? Leave your wife out of this, Edward.
Now, we have something to tell you off the air.
Okay.
All right, sweetie pie.
Thank you so much for doing all that
thank
stuff.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Love your show.
It feels good. The other question I have for you, Ed Begley Jr., I wanted to go to solar power at a certain point, but I was told that I needed some sort of shutoff switch at the street.
Yep.
That the DWP could shut off.
Yes.
And they said other states don't require this, and it doesn't make sense because the system shuts off when there's a power surge or whatever the technical side was. It's a safety thing, but yet nobody else requires it except for us in California. And he said it's a deal breaker for a lot of people because they can't run it all the way out to the street. He says it's an unnecessary requirement and a deal breaker. Do you know anything about that?
I do. Now they have them on the house. They've modified the code so it's more reasonable. And there is a good reason for this one. You don't want a man or woman up on a line when they know they've shut off their DWP power, you know, there with their, you know, high voltage lines, and then they're working a line to get a zap back from your solar house that's feeding into that same
grid. Right, but it's built into the transformer already. We don't need a secondary shutoff. But they say if you need a secondary shutoff and you live in a house that has a gate, the secondary shutoff has to be outside of the gate.
Right.
And
you're
that's
right.
The deal breaker.
It is.
All right,
it's
but look,
problem.
Anytime I hear about a thing that's legal in 49 states but not in ours, it makes me think that maybe we should be listening to the other 49 states.
There should be some standardization, too. I agree, because gray water systems, you know, there's code, different codes all over the country. In gray water, there should be some standard code. We should be using all that wonderful, reasonable water that's great for our lawns and all
What's
kinds
gray
of...
gray water?
It's water from your shower, water from your kitchen, not your kitchen sink. You couldn't use that from the garbage disposal. Water from your bathroom sink, your shower, and your laundry. That's all perfectly wonderful, usable water for ornamentals in your lawn.
Yeah, Think about the percentage of water that leaves your house that's actually polluted. It's probably less than 10%.
Yep.
I mean, most of it is just water running while you're brushing your teeth.
Right,
water
your
running.
Bath water
while you're washing your hands. Yes, it's gray water. It's not.
I don't like to think of my bath water as gray.
It's no.
But it could water a lawn.
It could. You could, and they put it through a filter. They put it through a sand filter, so it's really gets all the hair and the particulate stuff out of it, and it's really good water for water. I'm getting one put in. It's the last thing that I haven't done in my house that I can think of. Big ticket item. I'm putting it in the next few months.
Yeah, it's almost like saying, look, if you took a barrel and put it on the corner of your roof and captured the water that rolled off your roof in a rainstorm, as if your lawn wouldn't benefit from seeing that water on it? Of course. I mean, why not? I just feel like whether it's this or the fact that we're still building Denalis that get 11 miles to the gallon and we don't have the electric car worked out and we don't have any of this stuff worked out, I just feel like we're about 30 years behind where we should be. And I don't understand why we haven't focused more on it
right.
as a government. And I blame the government. I really do. I really feel like their priorities have been in raising money for themselves, but not doing doing things that they're being penny wise and pound foolish. They could be saving money overall, and I just don't feel like there's anything in it for them. I don't know if they're in the pocket of big electric companies or big oil producing companies. It feels a little like either stupidity or conspiracy or stupiracy, like stupid meets conspiracy.
Is it a stupiracy?
It's just slow to change, I think. I think
strategery.
Nothing but people on the city council will want to do this. Nothing but motivation in the mayor's office to do this.
Yeah,
it's just
nothing,
slow.
Nothing, except for they don't do anything.
Well, they're doing it, but it's too slow for me,
all
too.
All right, but here's what I'm mad. I'm saying, hey, idiots, yep. How about you serve us instead of figure out more ways to make money from us?
Right.
All right, Ed Begley Jr., everybody. Doing the Lord's work,
yeah,
and started doing it 30 years ago.
Gray water. Just a quick question. How much is it going to cost you to recycle your gray water in your home?
It's going to cost several thousand dollars, but I'll get that back over time. All this stuff that I did, those big ticket items, not the low-hanging fruit like the bulb, but even that stuff like the solar electric, the stuff at the top of the tree, I'm all into payback now because I'm in it for the long haul. I got kids. I got a grandson now. You know, I did this stuff in 1990, you know, the solar electric. I'm into profit now, and I will be in a few years with the gray water system. I'm in it for the long haul.
Plus, yeah, Ed Begley Jr., Living Like Ed, A Guide to the Eco-Friendly Life. It is in bookstores as we speak, and Living with Ed on HGTV. It's in reruns right now. All right, Ed, thank you as per usual, enlightening as per usual. T?
Yeah.
How about you tease the news and we'll take a break?
Valerie Bertinelli has written a book and she's telling all.
Mmm.
Oh, boy.
I know something.
I just wanted somebody to touch me and love me.
You do?
I do.
From personal experience?
I know stories about infidelity that was told to me by the person that...
she cheated with?
Well, not she.
He.
He.
This is going to be good.
For many years.
Well, she talked about that.
Now, if she mentions that, I'll tell you the story. If she doesn't, I won't.
She mentioned both of them cheating.
Because I swore to secrecy.
Really?
Years.
She's got a book now. It's fair game.
All right. We'll take a break. Maybe we'll drop a bombshell next on The Adam Carolla Show.
This Thursday, live from the Palms Hotel and Resort, The Adam Carolla Show returns to Las Vegas.
That is the goddamn best story I've ever heard in my goddamn life.
Fueled by Miller Lite Rockin' Racing Weekend with Jim Beam, the official spirit of racing. With guests Wayne Brady and Robbie Gordon, plus a special Vegas round of gay walking.
In blackjack, face cards are worth how much?
Probably worth, I'd say, $50,000.
And someone has a chance to win $50,000 with one spin of the roulette wheel. We call it Carolette. Clever, right? And then join us for a post-show party at the Spearman Rhino, Las Vegas, from 11 to 1 a.m.
Listen, strippers, you don't have to lie. I'm not going to ask any questions.
And if you can't make it, catch the rebroadcast Friday morning. Plus, stick around Friday night for the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
A reason to celebrate.
Live at the Palms. This Thursday, live in Las Vegas, it's The Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. Well, better late than never. Teresa Strasser and the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
This headline brought to you by our content partners at MSN.com. With crucial primary elections coming up next Tuesday, Democratic presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama square off tonight in another debate. The face-off in Cleveland, Ohio airs live on MSNBC and comes just ahead of next week's contest in Ohio and Texas. After a string of wins for Obama, some political analysts say Clinton must win both Ohio and Texas to remain a viable candidate. In other political news, Senator Barack Obama has accused Senator Hillary Clinton of, quote, fear-mongering because of a photo circulating through email. The Politico says Obama's campaign manager, David Plouffe, reacted to a headline on the Drudge Report claiming Clinton called attention to Obama's African roots in a photo sent through email. The photo is from 06 and it shows the Illinois Democrat dressed as a Somali elder.
I don't like it, watching it on Fox News as we speak. I don't like it, not because he is being linked with the Muslim faith. I don't like it because he's being linked with the ass kisser faith. I don't like it when anyone travels abroad and puts the stupid hat and the stupid jacket on and does the stupid dance and pretends for 10 minutes to be like, oh, this is an awesome culture you guys have. Security, please keep everyone away from me so I can get the F out of this dump. I don't like any of that. As a matter of fact, when we travel abroad, I want you to put on a blue three-piece suit. I want everyone else to dress like us.
I see.
I don't like it when our president goes somewhere else and then dresses like them. So it's ass-kissy.
Right. Well, even when campaigning, you know, if you're going to a Jewish event, you always see them putting on their yarmulke.
Yeah, they
fit in.
Yeah, they try to look like, you know, when they do the factory thing, all of a sudden they're wearing the denim shirt and the Dockers, and they dress like wherever they dress. I don't like that. If I go to your house for dinner, tea, I don't put a sundress on.
I insist you do from now on.
I wear what I wear, baby. That's the way I roll.
I'll also ask that you throw up dinner.
I like our presidents. I took too many laxatives to throw them up. It would cost too much.
Either way it comes out, it's coming out.
Point is I like our politicians to travel abroad and look like they represent us.
Right.
This is good news because we have to go to the Spearmint Rhino with you after the Vegas show.
That's right.
I do not want you dressing
bring
in
the
local
Lucite garb. Stripper wedgies and the thong back.
And the heels.
Yeah, that's right.
Their native dress, so I should wear that when I go to be respectful of their culture at the Spearmint Rhino.
For
you.
I'm saying forget about Barack having ties to Al-Qaeda. How about him having ties to Ass-Qaeda? He is kissing ass, and I don't like an ass kisser. And well, you know the other thing too?
Yeah.
I don't even like to see our presidents travel abroad and pretend to be amused by the super boring dances that the school kids do. They always stand around and there's a bunch of 8-year-olds going, and they're standing there with a smile painted on their face like, hey, this is awesome. Like you couldn't go down the street and find this in Washington. No, I don't like that.
We have singing school children. All over the place.
Yeah, just knock it off. You wear your suit. You put the little American flag on the lapel. You wear the blue suit with the red tie, and that's it. You're not Paul Simon. Knock it off.
And you should refuse to learn any foreign languages. We speak English.
Damn straight. Straight.
We were just talking to Ed Begley,
Jr. Now, finally, you're speaking English, Teresa.
It's taken a while. We were just talking to Ed Begley, Jr., and he mentioned that he and his wife have a disagreement. His wife is backing Clinton. He's backing Obama. Well, there were two brothers-in-law that had a similar disagreement, only this one got very bloody. It was in Pennsylvania. Last Thursday, they had a very bad political argument. Mm. One wound up in jail, the other in the hospital. 28-year-old Jose Ortiz and Sean Shireld, his age not given, were watching the Texas debate between Obama and Clinton. Jose, big Hillary supporter. He's a registered Republican, but he loves Hillary. Sean, on the other hand, likes Obama.
No.
Yeah.
Ortiz,
we gotta get
Republican.
Him in captivity.
This is crazy. All right.
You think most Latin Hispanic, whatever, are Democrats?
Well, I did, and now I realize maybe they're not. I know most folks of color. I'm not sure what to call African Americans are Democrat, but Hispanics, maybe it's 50-50, or maybe it's slightly more Republican. I don't know. It's a good question. I think anything but white, in Japanese, by the way, anything white or Japanese, anything else is Democrats, the way I always think of it. But
that makes it simple.
But then why get in a knife fight over a Democratic debate?
Well, during the debate, Jose started criticizing Obama, saying Barack wasn't a realist. And Sean, his brother-in-law, got so angry that Jose was trash-talking his candidate, he tried to choke Jose from behind. Mm-hmm. That's when Jose grabbed a kitchen knife and stabbed Sean in the stomach. Mm-hmm. When the police showed up and saw how badly Sean was bleeding, the paramedics flew him to a hospital. Sean is now in stable condition. Jose is in jail facing felony assault charges, and because they're in Philadelphia, where convicted felons can't vote, it's going to be a sad thing because he obviously takes politics very seriously.
It's going to be a sadder thing when he's talking to his cellmate about how he got in there. Stabbed a guy, what, over a lady? Sorta. She must have been some beauty.
She was blonde. She's powerful, powerful woman.
So, you were seeing this woman, kind of on TV.
Saw a lot of her on the television.
She was with another man. She is married. Let's just flip over all the cards. There's no way you're ever going to guess why I'm in jail. All right.
Valerie Bertinelli has written an autobiography. It's called Losing It and Gaining My Life Back 1 pound at a Time. Mm. It came out yesterday, and to celebrate the occasion, she went on Oprah. Apparently, she'd forgotten a lot of things she'd written in her book, because when Oprah brought them up, she seemed surprised and a little bit shy. But she then was pretty forthcoming. Here she talks about cheating, which she says happened on both sides.
But he didn't want to sleep with you.
Oops,
he didn't.
Sorry. Wrong one.
Look, I wasn't an angel either. I mean,
I you cheated too.
I cheated too. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And he claims to this day that I cheated first, but I don't know. So I guess we'll have. I don't know about the timing.
Well, the way you wrote it, you cheated first.
I did?
Yeah.
Who'd she cheat?
Yeah, you cheated first.
She mentioned
unless
it.
Unless I misread
maybe
something.
You read it right.
No, didn't you, where did you go? To Canada?
Japan.
Japan.
Yes, and I was infatuated with the drummer of this band that was friends of my brother.
You were 25?
I was 25. 25?
Yeah.
And I, you know, only 5 years into our marriage or 4 years into our marriage.
Sure.
And we had grown
Stand
that
5
far
years.
Apart.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted somebody to touch me and love me.
I want you to want me.
She was in Japan.
Yeah. Ooh.
Live at Budokan.
Trick. Slept with the drummer from Budokan.
Live at Budokan.
Yeah, I don't know who that musician was.
You know what? You chicks, you always have a great excuse, which is you cheat because you just wanted some love. You wanted some attention. You wanted something you were missing, whereas we cheat because we're horny. So you almost have noble motivation. It's like when a guy cheats, it's his fault for being horny and stepping out of the relationship. When a girl cheats, it's the guy's fault for not paying attention to her.
Valerie Bertinelli didn't just cheat with men.
Ooh.
You also wrote about passionately kissing another woman while you were married.
Did I write about that?
Yeah!
Yeah. She was a good kisser.
Yay!
She really was.
That's why I just said, as I was reading, I just would just tell everything, you know.
Have you ever kissed a woman?
No.
Okay.
No.
We don't start those rumors again.
No.
No, sorry.
I really haven't.
No.
Mm.
No, I believe you.
And if I had...
You'd let us know. I know.
Stedman doesn't
you'd
count.
Let us know.
I would have told you years ago.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom actually liked that story. He wanted to hear more.
Mm-hmm. Who's Tom?
I had no idea.
And did it say who he was cheating with?
Well,
the book say who he was cheating with?
I don't know if the book makes it evident, but you say you know.
Yes,
she does
I
say
do.
He was cheating and she was cheating.
I'm not going to mention any names because it would be uncouth.
Be untoward.
But there was a beautiful woman, obviously, model type. You all would recognize her, probably know the name. Had a few belts, sat down with her after an event.
Sean Young.
And she opened up and basically said that she had something going on with him for years. Not,
she and
not
Eddie
months,
Van Halen
not
had
weeks.
A years-long
years,
affair.
Years. Yeah.
And she had a few belts.
Mm-hmm.
Was she sad about the situation? Despondent?
No.
High fives all around.
Yeah.
Up high and down low?
Air guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Valerie Bertinelli was in high demand. She dated Steven Spielberg.
Really?
At one point. Yeah.
After her and Eddie broke up?
Previous, when she was 19, she went to audition for Raiders of the Lost Ark. She realized that she was too young for the role at 19.
Marion Ravenwood.
Mm-hmm.
But the next day, she got some flowers and a note from Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
And they dated a couple months, and she said he invited her to the Oscars. And then she told Oprah, well, I would hope so. We were sleeping together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Valerie.
Spielberg, by the way, I also found out, into something, well, let's just call it rough trade.
Steven Spielberg?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's the last person you would imagine.
Yeah, that's the way it always works.
It's
the way it always works.
Never look at E.T. the same.
Mm-mm.
She also talks very openly about her addiction to cocaine and how it made her dislike nature.
It got to a point where whenever I would hear the birds chirp, I'd be like, oh, God, no, no. And it took me years after stopping the cocaine before I was able to enjoy a sunrise and enjoy the sound of birds.
Really?
Because it would automatically click this, like, oh, God, I'm still up, you know, got to do another bump.
Now, what about another bump?
Cocaine.
Okay. I thought there were lines.
Oh, but you could call it that, too.
Okay.
But a bump is if it's from the spoon, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
It's been a while.
She seems so pure. I didn't know she was cocaine.
Oprah's never heard of doing a bump. And by the way, there's a context to it. You're talking about doing coke, right?
He's doing a bump. Is that some kind of sailing maneuver?
Okay.
Bump?
Cocaine. That's what? Made from the Coca-Cola company? How does that work?
I know it's a song.
It's an energy drink.
The song.
Yes.
Does that have anything to do with that Eric Clapton song?
Mm.
If I told you 20 years ago we'd be listening to clips of Valley Bertinelli explaining what a cocaine bump is to Oprah Winfrey on your morning radio show.
my head would explode and I'd have to do some coke.
I'll leave you with this.
Mm.
The biggest hamburger in the world was made at... You saw it?
Mm-hmm.
It's from Mally Sports Grill and Bar in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
24-inch burger. It weighed 134 pounds, although the Guinness Book of Records still has to confirm the size. If it is confirmed, it will beat the previous record very handily of 123 pounds set by Denny's Beer Barrel Pub.
Dawson got stoned and ate it.
The whole thing?
Yes.
Before Guinness could measure it?
Later, Hosen.
Oh.
That's right. They had to weigh Dawson, then wait for his bowel movement, and then weigh that.
Now, did he find this at the Dieseldorf?
Minus the Skittles.
Oh, no. Yes. How do you separate the Skittles?
Very gingerly.
That's right.
Let's just say you or Dawson wanted a 134-pound burger.
Mm-hmm.
You could order one, and it would cost you $350.
Look, I'm as you know, I'm a fan of this, as opposed to the most expensive burger, which is a regular burger with a diamond sitting on top
right.
of it, or a diamond sitting on top of anything, or mixed in. Hey, it's a $20,000 martini. What is it? It's a $4 martini. We drop a diamond into it.
Set a record.
This, at least, is the biggest burger.
Yeah, absolutely. It's beef.
All right.
No
Is it
diamonds.
Saying how many cows it took to make it? Because I would like to see the look on your face when you read that.
I know. Just thinking about it. I read that there, if you eat an average hamburger, don't be grossed out, but there's meat from 200 different cows in that burger patty.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah. It was in Fast Food Nation.
So it's like when you have sex with someone, you have sex with every
yes.
partner they've ever had.
Yes.
When you rape a cow.
Yes.
Oh, wait a second.
Wait.
Damn it, Ace Man. Think before you talk.
That was out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say you wanted to order a $350, 134-pound burger. Could you just waltz up to Mally's Sports Grill and Bar? Here is the owner, Steve Mally.
No, we're asking for a minimum of 24 hours notice. It actually takes 12 hours to actually cook the product. So definitely we got to have at least 24 hours notice. The more time, the better.
So you'd pull up like Fred Flintstone.
Would it tip the car?
Yeah, the coal. your whole log and rock mobile would just tip over to the side.
And your feet would be there.
That's right, when the waitress dropped it off at the car hop.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news sponsored by MSN.com. Have you gone to MSN today?
Tomorrow's news today. Teresa Strasser.
Good times. And even better times. Mr. Skin.
The Anatomy Awards.
He is, it's 08, it's time for the Anatomy Awards. It's Best Breast Picture. I won't give you the...
Breast Picture.
I'm sorry. Breast Picture. Best Nude Scene. Best Underwear. There's a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Ooh, Nick Slips.
Mm-hmm. It's all there. Mr. Skin, as chronicled in... Knocked up. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll talk to him. And also, Larry the Cable Guy coming up later in the show as well. We'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Kids around. Episode of How Bad is Whoopi? On today's episode, Whoopi comments on Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan has said in the recent times that she looked back on last year and thought to herself, what the hell was I thinking? Mm-hmm. Doing all of those things, being out of control. And we often talk about these young stars who are out of control. I just wanted to mention that finally, one of them is finally taking a look and going, maybe that wasn't the best thing for me to have done. There's a little reflection going on. And I just wanted to say, Lindsay, well done.
Stay tuned for more How Bad is Whoopi? Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Very insightful stuff.
People should take a look at themselves.
She's the funny one on the show, too, everybody. All right, speaking of funny, straight from his mom's basement in Wisconsin, Mr. Skin.
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Great to speak to you, Mr. Skin.
My honor.
Now it's time for the 08 Anatomy Awards.
Yes.
Which comes this time just after the Academy Awards.
Yes.
Good movies, bad movies. You can find the nudity in just about every movie. And how far back do you go?
Well, for each year, I just look at stuff that comes out the previous year, either in theaters or on DVD. So for this year's Anatomy Awards, I'm looking for movies that were released in theaters or put out on DVD in 2007. That's how you're eligible. Now, every year I give a Lifetime Skin Achievement Award to an actress for a great career of nudity, which obviously is about the past, but this is really about what just happened in the last year.
Mm-hmm. You see, there was a day and a time when this is all we had. They didn't really have the Skinamax. They didn't.
Right.
If you wanted to see pornography, you had to go to a theater and sit with other like-minded gents.
Right. And preferably a few seats away.
And
it didn't get messy.
And I could remember where everybody had a little bit of Mr. Skin in them when I was in high school, because the way it would work is somebody who had cable would say, guess what movie's playing this week? And someone say what, and they'd say the Greek Tycoon or the Betsy or some horror movie, and they'd say, well, what about it? Well, the movie starts at midnight, but there's a booby shot at about a half hour into the movie, so if we're all poised in front of the same TV set at about 12:33 this Saturday, we'll see half a booby.
Yep, that's exactly. You're running down my life exactly.
And now Mr. Skin has found a way to document it and bring it to the masses.
Well, how about this year? What wins Best Picture?
Well, the Best Picture was Good Luck Chuck, the Dane Cook movie. And mm-hmm. the reason is 13 different actresses or so-called actresses got naked in this movie. And not only that, you had Jessica Alba in her underwear on the same movie. So for a mainstream Hollywood flick, 13 different girls topless is pretty impressive. So that one, Breast Picture, Good Luck Chuck.
Mm-hmm. And what about the Lifetime Achievement Award?
Well, the Lifetime Skin Achievement Award I gave this year to Rosanna Arquette, who mm-hmm. has been naked in 17 films, Adam. 17 films.
Wow.
Plus an episode of The L Word. So 18 different places to see Rosanna Arquette naked in her career. And it is about time someone rewarded her for that. So.
Well, we don't have a ton of time, so just name the top 15 pictures we could see Rosanna. What would be the number one?
I think the best nude scene of the year, very important. There's anyone could go to MrSkin.com and see the list. There's 24 categories, a lot of them very fun, but actually all of them fun, but some funny. The one very important, Adam, best nude scene of all the nudity I saw in 2007, what was the best? And without question, Marissa Tomei in Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Mm-hmm.
43 years old and still looked amazing. And anyone who saw this movie knows what I'm talking about. But if you haven't, please check it out. She really looks great topless.
Well,
it's outstanding.
I appreciate that. But I'll give you my answer, which is whenever they get the older chicks who want to do the nudity, it's like, hey, Farrah Fawcett, she's 55 mm-hmm. and she looks amazing in Playboy. I'm like, are there no more 19-year-olds willing to get naked? Because as long as they're out there, instead of appreciating this version of what I could be seeing, I'd rather just go ahead. Instead of looking at the 45-year-old who looks like a 30-year-old,
yeah.
I'd rather just see the 20-year-old naked.
Well, then I have a good. That's great, because I have a good one for you. The best breast this year was won by Keely Hazel, a Page 3 UK pinup model who is 21 years old with 32E natural breasts, and that might be a little more up your alley. And
what,
I think,
what was she in a movie?
Yeah, the movie's called Cashback. It came out in July, and she's in a grocery store.
Slow down, I'm writing.
Yeah.
Cashback.
Yes.
Came back in July. Came out in July. Now, what's her name?
Keely Hazel. K-E-E-L-E-Y and mm-hmm. Hazel, H-A-Z-E-L-L. Mm-hmm. She is ridiculously hot. Very popular pinup model in the UK, and made her movie nude debut in Cashback and won Best Breast. Last year's winner was Salma Hayek for Ask the Dust. This year, Keely Hazel. And she even was quoted in the UK, the Sun, saying she was very honored to win this award. So that was kind of neat.
Now, with Selma Hayek has fantastic cans, but yep. Were they fully exposed and Ask the Dust?
Oh, yeah. She went full frontal 33 minutes in during a skinny dip scene. So, yes, she was fully exposed. Plus, she was on Ugly Betty in a bra that really shows.
I saw that.
Yeah, that was good stuff, but I'm looking for full frontal.
Yeah, well, you got it in Ask the Dust, and you got a bra scene in Ugly Betty.
So you say 33 minutes
into Ask the Dust.
Ask the Dust.
And do you have any insights? Are her breasts real or not?
You know what? They're so perfect. They're so perfect. I don't want to say they're real. I think I'm hoping that they're real. But
Selma,
I'll tell you why I think they're real.
All right.
They have that movement.
Yes.
To them, they seem to shrink and grow depending on whether she's. I think was she pregnant?
Yeah.
They grew, and she has the build for it. She's not a 5'10", 110 pound waif model with huge. She's buxom. I mean, right. She has curves and hips.
Yeah. Well, we're on the same page. We say at our site the real.
We are stuck to the same page. I agree.
Yeah, we say the real, but I'm thinking they're so perfect they could easily be fake somehow. So.
I know, but isn't it? It's sad that we're now living in a time where anything in nature that looks perfect, we decide that some dentist put a veneer on it,
yes,
or some plastic surgeon stuffed a bag in it.
Right. No, I
mean, there was a time when our parents saw a beautiful woman. They just went, wow, there's a beautiful woman. Now we all sit out in the cheap seats and snipe. Oh, I bet she had her nose done. Those can't be real.
Right.
Look at those teeth. Nobody's teeth are that white. We don't know what we're getting. Spray on tans. You know, extensions.
Exactly.
And this is just what you're going to do for Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
Right.
Alone.
Speaking of Dancing with the Stars, there actually was an award I give every year, a best butt slip, and actually on Dancing with the Stars this year, Karina Smirnoff was dancing with Floyd Mayweather, and her thing came down in the back, and you saw some upper butt cheeks.
Some ass crack.
Yeah, some ass crack. So, we'll be looking when you're out there.
New category, best NAD flash. Because I have been trying with little success to keep that codpiece in place. There ain't enough double stick tape in North America to keep that codpiece in place, and that's all I'll be wearing for the first several dances. As I've said, merkin and a codpiece, that's all I need.
Mr. Skin, you have a
great
category. Yeah.
Merkin and codpiece.
Do I have to be codpiece? I don't want to be either.
You're floor wax.
Thank you.
Merkin, floor wax, and codpiece. Coming in WGMY. You got the morning show. You got Merkin, codpiece. We got weather, traffic, news, weather. Floor wax, what's coming up in the news?
I'm going to be out at the sticker stop.
You're going to be out there. Merkin. You got those hairy beer koozies you're going to be handing out down at the Best Buy in Arleta. Got a little song. We got a little motoring coming your way. It's check traffic, weather, traffic, Merkin, codpiece, and Florwax coming back to you. 8:06, 6 after 8 o'clock.
It's 8:04. I don't want people to be concerned.
Sorry. Mr. Skin?
No problem.
What were we talking
Most
about?
Most shocking nudity. I'm curious about that one.
Well, you know, this year, last year, the winner was Rosie O'Donnell getting out of the bed in Nip Tuck.
Yeah,
and,
Don Budge.
Yeah, she showed Bud. And this year, there really wasn't a most shocking. There wasn't an actress that we didn't want to see naked get naked. So no most shocking this year. So it's one of those things. I do the awards based on what actually happens. If I want to have every year a wet T-shirt and no one does a wet T-shirt, I'm kind of screwed. So, but there was so many fun ones. Even the, like I said, the best crack slip was fun. We did a best bondage scene, which was Holly Hunter in Saving Grace, and this was on TNT, which is basic cable, and she's completely nude, tied to the bed, and that was definitely a surprising one, a little shocking.
I'll tell you what the dangerous trend is. The actresses that won't do nudity for the first 20 years of their career, and then at some point in their mid-40s decide it's liberating.
Yeah.
Sweetie, where were you when you were 25 and me and my genitalia wanted to see you naked?
Yeah, well, Mr. Skin, do you do for the actresses who pass on an in memoriam?
an in memoriam? Actually, at the website, we do have a Hall of Fame for actresses that have passed on and that have had a great skin career. But luckily, there's not a lot of them because nudity really just started happening in the 60s and 70s. So most are still alive, but there definitely are some that have passed.
All right. But when you're called out to eulogize some of the actresses that have been skintastic this year,
Nicole Smith,
25 years from now, it's going
to
be awesome.
They're dying to hear what I have to say, right?
All right. Well, throw out the website one more time.
MrSkin.com, and the Anatomy Awards are very easy to find in, like I said, about 24, 25 different categories, including Best Crack Flip from Dancing with the Stars.
All right. Say hi to your mom and tell her thanks for the Hot Pockets.
No problem.
Mr. Skin, everybody, truly doing the Lord's work, and now we slide deeper into the abode of the damned. Larry the Cable Guy, I believe, is on the show next, right, Ange?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Larry the Cable Guy, Eater Dunn, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I had a horrible nightmare last night. I dreamt I drunk the world's largest margarita and woke up this morning, there was salt on the toilet lid.
And now Larry the Cable Guy is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Larry.
Adam.
Great to speak to you.
You too, my friend. How you been?
I must say I've been doing well, and I know you've been doing well. I was actually watching Health Inspector. Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector, on what was on cable, I think it was about last week or the week before. Enjoyed it.
Well, I'm glad you did. They've been running the crap out of that on Showtime. That is the feel-good comedy of the year.
I announced that to my wife after seeing it.
You know what? I'm glad you enjoyed it. You know, a funny thing about that, when I was filming Witless Protection, Eric Roberts told me that when that come out, he'd heard of me and seen me before on Comedy Central, but he said his daughter was a big fan, and they always have movie night, and she wanted to go see it, and he said he went to the theaters, not expecting a lot, and he said he laughed through the whole thing. Turned out to be one of his favorite comedies.
And his daughter, I do believe, who played Nancy Drew, is going to be like the next It Girl, right?
Yeah, that's what they say. She's a big-time actress. So.
Well, Larry the Cable Guy, maybe she could be not your next wife, but your trophy wife that you've taken about 12, 15 years.
You know, Adam, you never know. I've seen worse.
Now, are you married, Larry?
Yeah, I got married about 3 years ago to my wife, who is awesome, and except she can't cook that good. Her meatloaf was on Fear Factor last year, but but other than that, I got a wife, couple of kids. I just had I got 18-month-old little boy.
Mm. Oh, congratulations!
Yeah, thanks. Named Wyatt after a grandma.
And you you live on a big ranch where?
You know what? I bought a farm outside of Lincoln, Nebraska.
You know you've arrived because I saw Larry on 60 Minutes. I think it was about a year ago. And Larry was using a Cushman golf cart to get around his own property. And anytime you need a golf cart to get around your own property, anytime you have a golf cart that doesn't have golf clubs in it, you've arrived.
Well, actually, Adam, that was a John Deere Gator four-wheeler.
Yes, it was.
But
yes.
It looks like a golf cart.
Right.
I actually split time. I'm in Florida when it gets cold up there, so I go to Florida. I'm calling it from Florida now because I like it when it's warm. It's 82 degrees here, 85 degrees here in Florida.
Well, how much are you on the
road? Adam, it is so hot down here.
Yeah.
Amish people are giving me $20 a piece to lay in my deep freeze. That's pretty good.
So, Larry,
I didn't know they had Amish in Florida.
Oh, huge.
Really?
Yes, it goes Pennsylvania, then Amish, then Florida in terms of Amish states. So, Larry, can I ask you this? Obviously, you're incredibly successful. You're making money a hand over fist, but do you have time with the family? Do you get to go home, or is it all life on the road, promoting the movie, shooting the movie, so on and so forth?
Well, you know what? I travel on a tour bus. I got a beautiful bus. It's got a picture of a greyhound on the side of it. And so I take my wife and I take my kids. You know, they're young. So, I mean, we go out on the road together, and I literally, my little boy's 18 months, my little girl's 3 months old, and I've only been away probably from my little boy maybe a total of 20 days since he's been born.
Well, I got to say this. I will pay you this compliment, Larry the Cable Guy. We're out here in one of the blue states, but I was in one of the red states, and I was going through the Lance Cracker factory. Now, Lance crackers aren't big out here in Southern California, but in the middle of the country, they're huge. I'm guessing you've put down a baker's dozen or two of them in your life, Larry.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I didn't know you can't take enough film for that trip.
I went through the Lance Snack Factory, which is mammoth. I mean, when you see 400 million square feet that is just dedicated to making peanut butter crackers, your head would explode. But I was taking a tour of the factory, and then we're in North Carolina, and the guy says, "You know any comedians?" And I said, "Sure, I know comedians." "You know any famous comedians?" I said, "Sure. Who do you want? You want me to get Dave Cross's autograph or Sarah Silverman's autograph? You know Larry the Cable Guy?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "Well, this tour's over."
Now, are you the spokescracker for the cracker company?
Yes.
I'm big at the cracker factory now.
You are mammoth at the Lance factory for crackers in beautiful, only employing crackers, but making crackers for over half a century.
You do their commercials and such, right, Adam?
Yes.
But I'll tell you what, though, you know, they always say blue state, red state, we're blue state. I can't, you know, I'm all red state. But I got to tell you, I got fans all over the place. And for instance, I'm coming to the Nokia Theater on Saturday. I've done five shows now in the LA area. All of them have been real good.
Let me ask you that, because the Nokia Theater out here in SoCal is a pretty big venue that is this Saturday, March 1st, 8:15 p.m., by the way. You can go to LarryTheCableGuy.com to pick up tickets, or you can go to Ticketmaster. Do you notice the difference in crowd size, or do you notice the difference in crowd energy between playing a theater in the middle of the country versus something in New York or something in L.A.?
You know what? I'm going to be straight up honest with you. By the way, it's about time the Nokia Theater brought some class into the place.
Sure.
You know what? I really don't. You know, my fans are good fans, and I've got fans all over. And I've always said to everybody, it doesn't make a difference, red state or blue state. I remember when they told me I could never sell a ticket in Manhattan or New York. That's why we never go there. So just because they said that, we booked Radio City Music Hall. And not only did they not think I would sell out the show, I sold out two shows at the Radio City Music. And I was like the redneck Pied Piper going into New York City.
40 buses from the Lance Snack Factory pulled up in front of Radio City Music Hall.
You know what? Yeah, come to think of it, I thought I did see a Lance bus.
Hey, Larry, can I ask you this? I have an independent film coming out on March 21st. And as I was researching it, one of the stories I came across was your story and your agent and you doing a movie and sharing the profits and releasing the film yourself and so on and so forth. Can you talk a little about that? I know you're more than just an actor in the film, but how does it work? And is, for instance, witness protection, are you releasing that? Is it you married to a big studio releasing that? Because I know there's a story behind it, and I know your agent is a shark, and I like this guy, but I don't remember the full story.
Well, you know, I believe what we do is we pretty much finance them ourselves, and then we half it with the studio advertising for the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, Adam, the thing is, you know, if you have a fan base that's your fan base And you have a great fan base as well. I mean, I you know, and not blowing smoke up your butt, I think you're hilarious. And I watch you every time you're on TV. And if you ever come to Florida, Omaha, or Nebraska, you know, I would go, I would come out and see you because I'm a fan. So that's the thing that you start with. You start with a fan base. And it's pretty much the heck with everybody else. You know, they're not buying your tickets. So you're basically putting out things for your fans to come see you. And when you make a movie like we make, where you just put a little bit of money into it and most of it goes into advertising, I mean, you don't have to have a really big opening. You don't have to set records. I mean, you can come out, there can be 14 movies come out, and you come out at number 10. It doesn't matter. Your fans are going to come see it, and if the fans don't come see it, they're going to buy it on DVD. But
right.
You've got your name, but you've got your name out. You've hit the talk show circuits. And it's basically just a nice little family. I mean, you put out your stuff. You have okay expectations for it. If it blows the doors off, good. If it doesn't blow the doors off, it's no big deal.
So you're essentially betting on yourself, and your fans.
Well, yeah, that's basically what you're doing. But remember, the people that you have to keep happy is your fans. And as long as your fans are buying your merchandise and buying your DVD when it comes out, and some of them, you know, not everybody goes to the movies. I mean, they did a poll a while back that on average a person will go to the movies maybe twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure if they're going to go to the movies twice a year, they're going to go see a big blockbuster.
By the way, if you just tuned in, we're speaking to comedian Stephen Wright. Whose new catchphrase is Geeter Done. You know what I would love? I just thought of a great idea, Larry the Cable Guy.
What's that? We're going to do something together. You and me.
Me and you and Stephen Wright.
We're going to do Sleeveless in Seattle.
We do a new comedy show where you spin the wheel and every comedian must do the other comedian's act.
Wheel of Comedy.
So you come up there and you're wearing a New York Yankees hat and you're super slow and you have to do Stephen Wright's act. And you're like, I came to my apartment in Manhattan the other day. When I was opening the front door by mistake, I put my car keys in it and the building started up. And then Stephen Wright has to come out on stage
to get her done.
And has to be like, did you ever see your parents having sex? Wow. That's the last time I go to that website. It would be awesome.
George Carlin starts giving people cards. Margaret Cho's got to explain the difference between baseball and football.
Oh, better yet, George Carlin is saying, you know, as a young Korean woman growing up in a very religious household.
And Margaret Cho has to do a prop act.
Yes.
She's got a new Carrot Tops act.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Carlin's got some new thing coming out on HBO. You know what? I love Carlin. The more bitter he gets, I think the funnier he is.
I was just doing a commercial, a live read for HBO, and it was for Carlin's new act. And I said, everyone else has gotten rich and gotten soft over the years because comedians become like heavyweights. They're hungry. They come from the streets. They're angry. And the next thing you know, they get a few Bengal tigers running around their yard. They're sleeping with a few models and they get a fountain inside their entryway and they're not so hungry anymore and they start getting beat. Carlin is one of these guys that is just as angry and just as fired up and just as bitter as he was in the 70s when I was buying his albums.
Yeah, I tell you what, I love every one of his specials. I think he gets funnier and funnier as he goes.
I agree. And let's not ever let Larry the Cable Guy lose the eye of the tiger. I don't want to hear you up there. I don't want to see a bloated, tired, drunk Larry the Cable Guy 20 years from now up there going, Geeter, Oh, hell, you know the rest.
Inner accomplished.
Larry, Nokia Theater live this Saturday, March 1st, 8:15. You can go to LarryTheCableGuy.com or Ticketmaster.com. And currently starring in Witless Protection in theaters as we speak. Larry, come see us in person next time you're in town.
Hey, I'd love to do that. If you're anywhere close to I'm at, I'll come out and say hey to you.
Thank you, Larry. Real people, real comedy. Larry the Cable
Guy. He'll say hey to you.
He'll say hey to me. He'll drive up in his Gator all-terrain cart and say hey. Yeah, when you're driving around your property in a camouflage golf cart, you have arrived.
Not to mention doing a 60 Minutes piece.
All right. Oh, yeah. Good point, T. All right. You want to hear some more good points from T? How about a little relationship advice? I feel qualified to do this. So does T. It's been a long time. We swore to do it around the new year and then somehow lost track of it.
Take a little time to be quiet.
866-901-ADAM. Do you want some relationship advice? I feel like we have it covered. 866-901-ADAM. We'll do that next.
Adam Carolla Show, where Adam and Teresa are dishing out some free love advice. So if you have an issue you need addressed, please call us at 866-901-ADAM. Right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Ooh, a little Toad the Wet Sprocket for you.
I haven't heard this in a while.
I like this song. Turn it up. Underrated band. All right, free love advice. T, you've loved, you've lost, now you've loved again.
Yeah.
You're on top of the world.
I am. I'm pretty euphoric, I gotta admit.
You have your fake bloodless diamond.
Yes, I have my cultured diamond.
Your can't bloodless diamond, your loveless relationship. It's
sometimes
awesome.
I get them confused. Wait, which one's bloodless?
Loveless ring. No, no. Right. That's right. No, loveless sham of a relationship.
Right.
Bloodless
diamond.
Okay. There you go. All right. So you're on top of that. But you've loved and lost, as have I. And again, I had a job for over 10 years. I basically tackled this subject. So
by
I
way,
know of which I... What?
On the topic of love, a caller called in and mentioned this in passing, and I realized I didn't quite know this story. They said that they liked when you described having... getting engaged and then breaking up after that. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
You and Lynette got engaged and then you broke up?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
I wasn't ready to get married.
Oh my God, it's exciting.
Not for you.
Yeah. I just decided that I wanted to be single for a year as a quasi-celebrity and essentially get it out of my system. And then once I got it out of my system, I could settle down.
How'd you sell that to Lynette?
It wasn't.
That
it was
a tough
not
sell.
A comfortable conversation.
Had you already given her the ring?
Yes. Yes.
Did she keep wearing it all year?
Oh, first off, I don't know my kid's middle name. Do you think I know
I
if she's wearing a
I
ring?
I know.
I don't know if I'm wearing a ring.
This is what you woke me up for.
I think you're going to slip it off before dance practice.
Oh,
right?
Damn. Thank you. Forgot. Almost forgot.
But in the end, that was the right thing, because now you're comfortable being married. You were ready.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm not in pain.
It's a tacit endorsement.
Comfort is the absence of pain.
It was, yes, it was true. I was not ready to get married, and so I took a year of not being married and being single, and then I was ready to be married, and I got married at that point. Yes.
It was a good idea for you.
You see, there's two things in life, or life's interesting. But here's what life basically is for most people. It's perception. If you think there's something you need to be doing, or you think there's somewhere you need to be going, or someone you need to be humping, it will haunt you, even if it's not a remedy, even if it doesn't change anything, just walking around with that knowledge in your head. It's almost like saying, I don't know why, but everything to me comes back to a car analogy. You're driving one car, but you keep looking at another car and you keep thinking, I feel like I should be in that car. I feel like I've earned that. I can afford it. I should be doing that. If you never go drive that car, and that car's not going to be better than your car,
right.
you almost need to drive it and then get back in your car and never think about it again versus you driving your car and thinking about it constantly. What if, what if, what if? It's like you just putting an acorn in your shoe for no reason and walking with a limp for the rest of your life, even though it's an imaginary acorn. We all know that's what marriage is. No, but what I mean is I wanted to be single. I wanted to experience being single, having money. I was single my whole life, essentially living in an apartment with four guys and driving a beat up pickup truck. I wanted to be single for a year and drive a sports car. It didn't turn out to be that great.
You already had a Lamborghini all along.
That's right. But I had to get it out of my system, and I had to know what it was like. And yes, now I'm married, and I don't think about what if, because I did it, and it was no big deal. And we torture ourselves that way as human beings. Now, the reality is you don't really need to go out and do that. You don't. It's like saying, my life will not be complete unless I skydive. Right. And then you walk around thinking, I'm living half a life because I've never skydived. You
just
don't
do it.
Either just do it, or the reality is you don't really need to do it. Here's your reality. You'll go do it. You'll land. 5 minutes later, you'll go, that wasn't that big
a
deal.
It?
And you'll go back to feeling exactly the same as you did. But there's a piece of your mind that at least can check it off, and you no longer have to think about it.
Well, Shay on line one wants to know if she should stay with her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Shay?
Hi,
Adam. What's going on, Shay?
Well, you pretty much just actually kind of answered my question for me in your whole monologue there. I've been with my boyfriend for about 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've been living together for 2, and now we just moved back home with our parents to kind of save up some money. I've been staying with him and his mom, which has been driving me up the wall.
Yeah, good times.
And so I basically told him the other day that I'm just want to move back home with my mom for now and save money until we're ready to get a place of our own together.
Mm-hmm. So you guys have been together since like the 10th or 11th grade?
My senior year, yeah. He was already out of school.
Mm-hmm.
So,
formative,
you know,
dating years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you want to know whether to stay together or not.
Basically, I mean, if, you know, a break.
All right. Great example. What people do is they get hooked up in high school, they stay together, they get married in their early 20s, and then somewhere between the age of 27 and 35, they think, what would it be like to be with somebody else? Answer, probably the same. But again, just like my example of I've never skydived, it's going to bother me.
The question is the acorn in your shoe and the poison in your mind.
You walk around with it. And I'm sad to say this, Shay, but I think people shouldn't be together for 5 years from the time they're 15 or 16 to the time they're 21. You should date multiple people. You should experience multiple people. You should go out and sample from the rich buffet that is life. And then somewhere in your later 20s say, all right, I've seen what the world has to offer and I found my prince.
And Shay, I don't know if this helps you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this helps you at all, but I had the same boyfriend from age 16 to 21. And when I look back on it now,
I think...
He was
in his 40s, which was difference.
Unfortunately, he was 25, 26. He was old when we met. He was 8 years older. But
Barry Bonds.
Now, at 29...
Now, hold on. Is he 25, 26 like you're 29?
No,
or is he really 25, 26?
He was 8 years older. So when I was 16,
mm-hmm.
24,
right.
It was inappropriate. That's
right.
Beside the point.
Mm.
But my feeling now, even though that guy was so much older, I would have nothing in common with him now as a 29-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy who I was with for 5 years, 16 to 21, I would have nothing in common with him. You're just a totally different person.
Yes.
That's what I feel like I've been kind of growing into as well. I'm just
yes.
Older. And, yeah.
Look, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that happens, too, in your first relationship. And, T, you know, as you get older and you get more experienced, you figure it out. It's like a job. Your first job, your boss is an a-hole, you hate it, and you hang around for 3 years. Eventually, you, after about your 10th job, you walk in, you size up your boss as an a-hole, your coworkers are idiots, and you're out of there in 4 weeks. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Relationships work that way. Your first relationship, you're stuck with somebody who, by the way, the only reason you're with this person is proximity. Do you really think your soulmate would just be the person sitting behind you in biology class? I mean, do you think God works that way? It's like when you're a kid. Who's your best friend? Your neighbor. Why is your best friend your neighbor? Or why is your best friend little Tommy who lives across the street? Because you guys live next to each other. Now, what happens when you get older? What happened to Tommy? We don't talk anymore. Why not? I got a car. And I no longer have to have my best friend as my neighbor, but was he ever your best friend? No, he was the kid who lived across the street who became your best friend because of proximity. This is what happens with young couples. When you get older and you get a car and you start flying around and you see the world, well, then you can actually go out and meet somebody who may not live in this state, this country, this town. That's how you know this person is for you. I don't think relationships should go on any more than I think your best friendship should really go on just because the person lives next door to you growing up. And you should experience more people. So I say break up. T?
I think the fact that she's even asking the question means she knows it isn't right.
All right. Steve?
Yeah?
What's your question, please?
Hey, I've been married for 22 years, became single about 2 years ago, and just want to know how to start over. I'm a construction worker, don't ever get out anywhere to meet people, just wondering what I should do.
Stop masturbating so much. You lose the eye of the tiger.
Is that what's happening?
Not too much. I've got two daughters, so.
It's hard to hunt when you have a full belly.
Right.
Yeah.
Of... No, but you know what I'm saying. So that's number one. Number two, if I were single now and I was swinging a hammer, I would get on the computer and ask one of my daughters, how do you do this MySpace thing? How do you do this Friendster thing? How do we hook up this way? There's plenty of, I mean, look, I'm putting him on hold because his connection is bad, but there's always a group of people in life that are looking for something. We now, via the computer, have figured out a way to connect them. And I'm not turning my nose up at it. I understand people are busy and you don't want to go to a singles bar. I mean, you just look at it this way. You love what, T?
Reading?
Besides prescription meds and Jameson's.
Well, those are one and two, books.
Let's just say there's a dog you like.
Right.
Pick a dog.
Chihuahua.
God damn it. All right. Let's just say you love Chihuahuas.
That was just a spite.
You love Chihuahuas.
They're cute.
Now, in the past, you wanted to hang around people who love Chihuahuas. You wanted to share information and photos about people who love Chihuahuas. And what would you do? You'd go to the dog park and see if you found somebody dragging a Chihuahua around. Now you hop on the computer. You go to chihuahua.com. You meet other friends. They exchange information. Fine. You now have a group. These are like-minded people. You share the same interests. This is what we now use the computer for. It's a community. Why not just use it for dating? I know it's being used for dating, but what's the stigma? You're single. Someone else is single. Somebody else is in your age group. Somebody else has the same interest you have. Somebody else maybe has a couple of kids from a former whatever. Why not you get together with that person just like the person is getting together who loves Chihuahuas to rape them and leave their body in a shallow grave in the desert?
I think you're right. I think the stigma is pretty much almost gone from computer dating, and you can find anything. There are niche sites like My Friend. She's a white girl. She only likes to date black men.
Mm-hmm.
There's a site for that. Mm-hmm. There's a site for everything. There's a site for people with the happies. There's a site for people who are vegetarians.
What is the name of that site, by the way?
God, I should ask.
No Jungle Fever.
Yeah, it wasn't like that. It was tasteful.
I thought Jungle Fever was tasteful. I was being nice.
That was your nice one?
I had a lover's. I had a lot of stuff worked out in my head. Yeah, sure. Of course.
That's specifically for people who enjoy interracial dating.
So it's the.
There's a link to it on my MySpace page, peeps.
It's the fat white chicks and the Nubian warriors who love them.
She's very thin.
Really?
Yeah, thin and pretty. That's just her thing. And by the way, she's
and
even
lonely.
More particular. She only likes a bald.
Mm-hmm.
Bald black man.
Really?
Yeah. That's her thing. If I'm with my friends and we see a bald black guy walk in, we all like tap her on the shoulder.
Uh-huh. So if Seal comes walking into the Starbucks.
That would be her type.
And how's she with her dad?
Good. great relationship with her parents.
Not
it's
a bigoted guy.
Nope.
Just her thing.
That's just her thing. Like, you might like blondes or you might like big boobs.
Right.
She just aesthetically likes that look.
All right.
What about a white bald guy who has a lot of soul?
It's like
for example,
Ryan.
Do you know any?
Yeah.
Well, look
it's like,
some.
Let's say, really heavily into Depeche Mode.
I would, if I were you, I would stick to the Chihuahua site.
All right.
Andy?
Yes.
You're getting out of jail soon?
No, I just got out of prison.
All right.
And,
do you like bald black guys?
I don't like black guys.
Mm-hmm.
It must have gone over well in the joint.
Well, anyways, I've been seeing this girl, and you know what? Things have kind of been shaky lately, you know? Kind of the feeling was lost, but yet I can't just break loose from her. I'm still sleeping with other people. I'm still talking to her every single night. And, I mean, we're still making plans to meet up, you know, get a hotel room or whatnot, because we both live with our parents. So I'm still trying to get back on my feet. And, you know, I'm not sure if I should just break, you know, cut her loose, you know, maybe for the sake of both of us, because I know somebody's going to get hurt sooner or later.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you say hurt, you don't mean hurt. You mean emotionally hurt.
Emotionally hurt, yeah.
Right. What were you in the joint for?
A parole violation.
Mm-hmm.
What was your original crime?
Breaking hearts.
it was assault with a deadly weapon.
Was what?
Assault with a deadly weapon.
All right. Hey, Andy.
Yes.
I would say for most people, like the ones that break up, make up, break up, make up. Look, when you have kids and you're married and there's a house and there are other lives that will be adversely affected, give it a shot. Get into therapy, that kind of stuff. When you're 23 and you don't have kids and you don't have property to whack up, well, what's the big deal? You know what I mean? It's not worth it. Teresa.
Yeah.
Think about all the relationships you've had where you've broken up, you've gotten back together, you've broken up, you try to get a waste of time, right?
Complete waste of time. When it's right, that doesn't really happen.
Yes, you break up the first time, like, you know, you're 21, you're dating someone, you break up, you make up, you break up. You should have just broken up, right?
And let's take a 3-month break. Just break up.
Just break up. Now, again, like I said, you have a couple of kids and a mortgage. That's not just, hey, I'm going to take my car and point it in the opposite direction you and head off into the sunset. That's an issue. Okay, let's see. Want to take one or two more. Let's see. 10-year relationship. Take ring back after wedding is canceled. Here's an etiquette question. Mike?
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's happening? What happened to you?
Oh, well, I got dumped last week, the day before Valentine's Day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was nice after 4.5 years, and she wants to keep the 4-carat diamond ring.
Four mm-hmm. carats? That's a gigantic ring.
Well, she's a doctor, so I had to, you know, make her look good. So.
Why'd you guys break up, Mike?
She said her career is what she wants to do right now and doesn't want to have any other issues to deal with, so.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she wants the ring. Mm. I'm like, wait a
minute.
She
met McSteamy somewhere.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's always someone else. Whenever they give that, there's no time in my life for a relationship. It really means no time for your ass in my life for a relationship. I always that thing where like people, it's like saying my schedule's too busy to eat. Everybody wants somebody waiting for them when they come home at the end of their very busy day. To say I'm too busy to date is insane.
Yeah, I'm not ready for a relationship right now. I'm not ready for you.
And by the way, you want to know who does the most humping with the most strangers? The busiest guys on the planet.
They find time.
They find penis time. Quality penis time. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
All right. So she's interested in somebody else or what have you. Here's what I would say from an etiquette standpoint. And, Teresa, you play Heloise and tell me if I'm hella right on this one.
Okay.
If in somebody breaks up with you, when they're breaking up with you, they should also return the ring.
Absolutely.
That symbolized what you guys formerly had and which they're giving back now. I don't care if it's a car, a ring, or a condo. When they say to you, no more, they should give whatever you bought them, especially the symbol of the breakup. It's one thing if you bought them a toaster oven and you broke up. Well, maybe they can keep that. But this ring, that's a symbol of your what you're using symbolically when they hand it back to you. That means deal off.
I would agree. And I think, Mike, if it makes you feel any better, mm-hmm. sometimes the way people get out of a relationship says a lot about who they are. And to me, that she didn't give you the ring back or offer to give it back, just lacks dignity.
And
class.
Yes. And again, if you broke up with her, I still think if she has dignity, she gives the ring back. But I'm going to leave that up to her. So whoever breaks up with who depends on who gets the ring back. And for you, you're getting it both ways because you're out 4 carats and a good doctor woman.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike, guys. I'm sorry. How much was that ring?
I appreciate it.
How much was the ring?
$32,000.
I'm so disturbed that people spend this much on
their
blood diamonds.
2 years' pay, Brian.
I know. I can't even. It must have been a crown.
It should be 2 weeks' pay. That should be the new order.
$32,000.
Wow. Okay. Now, look, but Mike, before.
He was worth it, I thought, you know? So.
I understand. Well, first off.
Joke's on you.
Here's the good news. As I said to Kimmel, I believe, during his divorce, and as I would say to any guy during his very expensive divorce, he was complaining to me, and I don't remember what the number was, but these divorce numbers are astronomical.
Yeah.
It's like you have to pay someone $25,000 a month or $30,000 a month or whatever it is. And I can't remember what his is, and I don't want to get into the specifics, but he was a little bit bummed out about it, as anyone would. And I said, but here's the good news. Did you ever think you'd be in the position to get divorced and pay somebody 30 grand a month?
That's the good news.
You know you've arrived.
That's a fraction of your income.
Whether it's half or three quarters or 0.1%, either way, you have arrived.
Yeah, that's an uptown problem.
It's like being sued for $50 million. Even though it's a bad thing,
right.
You know you've arrived.
Deep pockets.
When you have someone who's keeping your $37,000 ring, you know you've arrived.
Unless he charged it, Mike.
Mike?
No, not at all.
So you have the means to spend that kind of money on a piece of jewelry?
Well, I mean, I planned ahead. I was, putting money aside, so yeah.
But, I mean, $37,000 in a ring means you're fairly well off, right?
I'm okay, yeah.
All right, so the good news is you're 37, you're relatively young, you're well off financially, and I agree with Teresa. Her doing this and the way she did it really did say a lot about her. And I know it sounds like we're being Pollyanna-ish when we say you don't want to be with the person. She showed her true colors.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I would dart her like a rhino and get that goddamn ring.
I would, too.
I would show up with a dart dipped in curare and a Vaseline jar. And some duct tape, and I would hit her in the neck. She'd feel like a mosquito bite on her neck in the parking lot,
yeah.
And she would wake up with a handful of Vaseline, and the ring would be gone.
Well, we're still in the same house, so that's even worse.
Oh!
Yeah.
Does she ever take it off?
Yeah, it got stashed right away.
Look, Mike, I don't want to pry too much, but if I spoke to her...
She knows she's wrong. She stashes the ring.
But we're only hearing Mike's side of the story.
Yeah, what would she say?
I would say...
She broke up. She went upstairs and that ring was put away somewhere else.
But if I spoke to her, I bet she would say, when I met Mike 6 years ago, I bought him a brand new Lexus. He never paid a penny for it, and this is his comeback.
No, that didn't happen.
No money. Like that. She would have... Oh. No logical, reasonable explanation for this other than I'm a bad person.
Well, I'm around too much, yes. All right.
Well, then, Mike, she did you a favor.
Yeah.
You didn't want to be with her.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Good times.
Hi, Mike. He'll find himself another, he's got one hot doctor. He can get another one.
Jesus Christ, 37 grand on that.
Oh, it is so twisted.
You should come out to our Vegas show.
And every time she left to go to work, I would turn that house over. It would look like the Bourne Identity fight scene in there when I was done with that house. Tearing pillows open, pulling down draperies. I would hire a diamond sniffing dog and a metal detector.
You'd crash in through your own window. I'd place to look for it.
I would be tearing off the drywall looking for that. It would be like No Country for Old Men where I had my head up in the heating duct yeah. Looking around. I would tear that place apart. Every picture. I'd even do the thing where I pulled the picture off, looked at the back of the picture, and then slashed it diagonally.
I do not understand spending a down payment. He's calling from Vegas. You could get almost a down payment on a condo.
No
on a
S,
ring.
Sherlock. All right, Sherlock. Why don't you give us a little tease on the news?
Oh, another very messy breakup. The Hoff. David Hasselhoff has gone to retrieve some very unusual belongings from the home of his ex.
Hamburger. We'll thank ourselves. He wants his members-only jacket and his burger back, which is in the members-only jacket.
And the glowing script from Knight Rider.
That's right. White hot. Quick break. Back with the news next.
The Adam Carolla Show returns to Las Vegas.
That is the goddamn best story I've ever heard in my goddamn life.
Fueled by Miller Lite Rockin' Racing Weekend with Jim Beam, the official spirit of racing. With guests Wayne Brady and Robbie Gordon, plus a special Vegas round of gay walking.
In blackjack, face cards are worth how much?
Probably worth, I'd say, $50,000.
And someone has a chance to win $50,000 with one spin of the roulette wheel. We call it Carollette. Clever, right? And then join us for a post-show party at the Spearman Rhino, Las Vegas, from 11 to 1 a.m.
Listen, strippers, you don't have to lie. I'm not going to ask any questions.
And if you can't make it, catch the rebroadcast Friday morning. Plus, stick around Friday night for the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. A reason to celebrate. Live at the Palms. This Thursday, live in Las Vegas, it's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, that may be true, but for just a few minutes, twice a morning, it becomes the Teresa Strasser Show with her news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
This year's Oscars were the least watched ever. An average of just 32 million people tuned into Sunday night's show. That just beat the previous record holder, which was the 2003 ceremony. A mere 33 million people watched that one. But that year, there was an explanation. The Oscars went down right as the war in Iraq was beginning. Last year, the Oscars attracted 40 million people. The year before that, 2006, was the only other year Jon Stewart hosted. That year is now the third least watched. So Jon has two of the three lowest rated.
Mazel tov, as his people would say. Why I'm a friend of John, and we have the same agent, and I spoke to James Baby Doll Dixon about John's performance yesterday. Couple of things. Why war in Iraq? Why is that an excuse? I mean, I know we do that all the time. Like, well, people are distracted about the economy or the war in Iraq, or you fill in the blank. But does it ever work that way for you in the Super Bowl or you in the Oscars? It's not like, sweetie, I'm not in the mood to watch the Oscars because I'm thinking about our boys in Fallujah right now. Like, is it really an excuse? Does it dominate the news and there's more people? Like, I understand if we're bombing Baghdad physically while the Oscars are on, but is that really an excuse?
The only explanation I can think of is sometimes you watch just to see the crazy outfits people are going to wear and, you know, the nutty speeches and the yelling. And you knew that year that everybody was going to be dressed in a subdued way,
mm-hmm,
and that it was probably going to be on the dull side.
I'm just saying, like, 9/11 happens and then there's the Oscars. Do you not watch the Oscars that year because you're in no mood because of 9/11?
I'm in more of a mood.
I know we chalk a lot of things up to a lot of different things. Here's what I think. I think TV is a pie that's getting whacked up into smaller and smaller and smaller pieces as we go, with lots of great programming, niche programming that is made for people that like cars, that like cats, that like boats, that like home remodeling, that like nudity. Wow, I just threw every one of my hobbies out there. The point is I just don't think we're ever really going to be able to capture all of America anymore because there's so much to watch that's so specific, unless you have a Titanic type situation.
Right.
And we didn't have that this year.
You hit the nail on the head. This year, there's a real lack of star power amongst the nominees. If you think of the 10, 15, 20 biggest stars in Hollywood.
You want Dustin Hoffman to be nominated for something.
Brad Pitt,
Jack
Nicholson.
Tom Hanks, you want Nicholson in it. No, they're just all standing around. I thought Stewart did a great job, but then we become like superstitious natives where we go, well, the guy was with the second and the third lowest one. He did a great job.
You know what the real litmus? No, he was good. You know what the real litmus test should be is, you probably don't have this information, but see what E's red carpet coverage was like if it was lower in comparison to other years, because my hunch is that it's the lack of star power. It's nothing new with the actual host.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. Yeah. I don't know. There are so many factors that go into this. I had heard that because the Super Bowl is now on Fox, mm-hmm, that the did it used to be on CBS?
ABC.
On ABC.
And it moves around, I think.
Right, and that also has an effect on viewership. Anyway.
Also, how about this? How about the saturation of celebrities throughout the year? It used to be back in the day when I was growing up, you didn't see all the celebrities all year long. There was no TMZ. There was no Entertainment Tonight. There was no Pat O'Brien. Although there was, he was just in his 40s.
Into sports.
And he was doing NBA basketball.
He was on his first liver.
How about this? How about this? And intern. How about this? No, but how about this for a theory? You would want to see Cher, what Cher is wearing,
right,
what Cher is thinking, what Cher has to say. Now you turn on the television, you are absolutely saturated with celebrities. It's not a big deal to see them all come out anymore.
Yeah, it used to be the stars come out, and now it's the stars are on your TV every
night. It would be as if football season never ended.
Right.
They just kept playing 12 months a year. How big would the Super Bowl be? It's like we're watching football Monday through Sunday. All, you know, it's a nonstop cavalcade saturation of celebrities and what they're wearing. No big deal anymore. Yes?
I agree.
Okay.
As far as hosts go, you may recall that Whoopi Goldberg has hosted the Oscars 4 times.
Wow.
She's also won an Oscar. This came up on The View.
For Ghost.
That's right.
Ugh.
She won for Ghost. And she was the second black woman to win an Oscar in an acting category and the third black woman to win one overall. The first was Hattie McDaniel. She won for Best Supporting Actress for Gone with the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I don't think of Whoopi as a black woman. I think of Halle Berry as black, but I don't think of Whoopi as black. She doesn't have the characteristics physically.
Right.
Whereas Halle Berry really looks like a black woman.
How about Irene Cara? She won Best Original Song for Flashdance. What a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this came up on The View. What came up was they showed a montage, you may remember, that included clips of numerous past hosts. Mm-hmm. Now, it also excluded Steve Martin.
Now, did you say that Whoopi hosted 4 times?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Each time worse than the last, by the way.
Yeah, she's horrible.
That was almost unwatchable. I couldn't stand when she hosted.
All right, well, blame her writers, by the way.
Yeah, well, blame her writers. That probably wasn't her fault. But they brought her back many times, so the producers must have felt she did a good job.
Yeah, but fool me once, shame on, you know what I mean? Fool me 4 times.
Right.
Writers every time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, this came up on The View because, again, she was left out of the montage of previous hosts. Now, she was in a montage of winners. So
right.
I assume that was why she was left out, and she got very emotional, and the other ladies on The View tried to cheer her up.
I think we should do our own montage of you to make up for it.
This makes up for it.
Well, we love you.
We love you, Whoopi.
Well, you know, being slighted is never fun. It's not fun.
No, it's...
Hold on, I'm writing.
I wouldn't like
it's
it.
Not.
Did Joy say being slighted is a good time?
Hold on.
To ever win an Oscar, period?
Yes.
Hattie McDaniel and then you?
Yes.
I mean, you did make history, so it would have been nice to present historical information.
The research team there at the Oscars, I mean, yes, it's not very hard to figure out who hosted Oscar 4 times.
Right.
Aww. All right, so let me get this straight. They use some sort of research team over there at the Oscars, and... Yeah. She made history after the other chick made history?
Right. Hattie McDaniel was the first.
But how do you make history? It's like Bannister runs the 4-minute mile. He's the first man to break. I'm right. The second guy. I made history.
Don't care.
You more added to history than made history.
Well, she was the first person of color to host the Oscars.
Can I say this? Whoopi Goldberg stole her Oscar. Like, people give Marissa Tomei a lot of crap because she won in a weak year. Whoopi Goldberg won in a very strong year. She was easily the worst. She won over Lorraine Bracco for Goodfellas.
What?
I'm going to continue vomiting. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start vomiting because Ordinary People beat out Raging Bull for Best Picture, and then I will never stop vomiting because Whoopi Goldberg beat out Lorraine Bracco
for Goodfellas. Do you know who else was nominated?
Mary McDonald from
Dances with Wolves.
Diane Ladd from Wild at Heart, and Annette Bening from The Grifters. Whoopi Goldberg easily the fifth best actress. And by the way, should there not be... How about this? An Oscar review committee. You win your Oscar on a probationary period for 5 years. And right. then after 5 years, we look back. What have we done? And we give it back to Lorraine Bracco.
I completely agree. If you took a bunch of people and you sat them down now and you showed them Raging Bull and you showed them Ordinary People, they would take the Oscar away
yes,
from the ordinary
rightfully
so. People and hand it to Scorsese, and it would do the actually you would take the Oscar away from Whoopi Goldberg right. and give it to any one of the other four
yes.
and then you would backhand her. I can't believe Lorraine Bracco was in that category yeah. with her and all the other
Annette
four
Bening
mentioned.
Bening was so good
and the Grifters yeah. was awesome.
Whoopi Goldberg played a very well-written character in a whimsical movie, and she stole that Oscar, and she should be complaining about
now
nothing.
Based on your probation period, do you take back Mira Sorvino's Oscar for Mighty Aphrodite?
No, because I actually thought she was really good in that movie. Well, I don't know who she was up against. I'd have to look that up. But she was actually good, unlike Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, but I still might think about it. I'd say it would be under review, and I forgot that was Goodfellas and Lorraine Bracco's year. Pathetic. And by the way, Ghost, one of the most overrated movies ever laid to film. Thank you.
Yeah.
I've tried to watch that film like five different times, and I just see Patrick Swayze with his eyebrows all turned up, looking so that movie bugs me.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
The song and that Potter's wheel.
Yes. Yes.
Thing.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to cheer you up, because any day you can learn something new about David Hasselhoff is a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And that day is today.
Mm-hmm.
David Hasselhoff and his ex-wife, Pamela Bach, had an African room in their Encino home.
Mm.
The room is still there, but of course David is not. However, he has been granted permission by a judge to retrieve several items from the African room.
Mm-hmm.
Those items include a statue of a boy with a horn, a dolphin, a green elephant, an African pipe, an ivory tusk, and an elephant foot and two elephant stools.
Huh?
Yeah, he can also
stools.
Shaped like an elephant.
Yeah. We have one out here, too. It's called Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. You got to get by there.
So good.
Mm.
David can also have some items from outside the African room, which include his weights, a piano, Ted Williams memorabilia, a barber chair, and no explanation given for this, a French maid.
The Hoff's got range.
Yeah,
it really does.
Very widely.
Elephant stools, barbells, a French maid.
Ted Williams?
Yeah.
Baseball fan.
A splendid splinter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think we have to take a break now, but I have more news.
Give us a tease.
Oh, I think you might be upset about this. I know how you feel about Petra Nemkova, the tsunami, the supermodel who survived the tsunami.
Yes.
She's got a new boyfriend.
I know. I like the fact that her old boyfriend was swept out to sea.
Right.
I feel like, you know, the next guy who dates her, you know, that's a windfall. Sure, his name comes up, but he's not going to write a tell-all book. He's not going to put some pictures on the internet that he took on their honeymoon.
He's not going to put a nail in your tire.
That's right.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind. That's right. Literally swept out to sea. And by the way, definitely falling under the heading of act of God. You want to talk about wasn't meant to be. Your boyfriend is swept out to sea. That means, I don't care how big an atheist you are, that is a sign.
The ocean reached up, grabbed him, and pulled him.
He was actually snatched away from you by the sea, which means not meant to be in the Ace Man's book.
Well, her new boyfriend is an Oscar winner, I believe, a very well-known and respected actor, and a lot older.
All right.
Whoopi Goldberg.
I may have to vomit again. Take a quick break. Back to the rest of the news next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Every now and again, we like to break down the game film of PBS's Huell Hauser. But sometimes there's just not enough time for all the clips. So here's another one of Huell's Jewels.
Well, now I can tell time is passing because if you look down the street here, there are four cars.
Where there wasn't before.
Yeah, there. And there are four people crossing the street, so the energy is building here in downtown Cayucas.
Thanks, Huell. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Can never be taken off the air. T.
Yep.
The news, baby girl. The rest of the news.
Petra Nemkova. She's the tsunami-surviving supermodel.
Yeah, screw her. I got a new girlfriend. Michelle Lombardo.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Just saw her out in the hallway. She's from Quarter Life, new TV show.
But you would know her best as
the girlfriend.
of the director from Entourage.
Mm-hmm.
That girl is always walking around in her underwear.
Yeah, and you can see why. She's pretty stunning.
Well, not only that, but let's break down her last name, Lombardo.
Yeah.
Sounds to me like a cross between Lombardi.
Yeah.
The great Packers coach.
Right.
Lamborghini.
Right.
The great Italian car manufacturer. And Gallardo, the newest of the Lamborghinis. So you are taking Gallardo, Lamborghini, and Lombardi and making it into Lombardo.
I will add Lombard, the curviest street in the world.
So you ran a little bit of your own stuff into that, but I mean, I'm with you.
You guys were in a tizzy over this girl. She walked in
we'll
and
have
it's been
a
nonstop.
Son. We'll name our first son Juergens.
Oh, no.
Juergens Lombardo. The greatest masturbatorial name ever.
All right. Long-snapping prodigy, Juergens Lombardo.
Juergens Lombardo. Sure, there were bigger guys in the NFL, but no one played with the grit of Juergens Lombardo. She's named after an Italian car and Vince Lombardi. All right, I'm sorry, but hurry it along, T.
I'll make it quick. Petra Nemkova. She used to be with James Blunt. They reportedly broke up.
He's too short for her.
Well, you might feel that way about her new boyfriend. Reportedly, she is now dating Sean Penn.
Jesus.
Sean Penn.
He's 47 and she's 28.
He went from Robin Wright to Petra Nemkova?
Yeah.
When did he get divorced?
Well played.
Well, it looks as though during a separation from Robin Wright in the mid-90s, Penn dated singer and songwriter Jewel. Okay.
It's very recent.
And it was kind of under the radar. I remember hearing about it and being shocked.
Look, I've seen Sean Penn on Oprah, and he's a full-blown bummer. Could you imagine him just plotzing around the house in a bathrobe smoking a cigarette?
Well, maybe he listens to her when she talks about the tsunami and her lost love. You can relate.
Look, it'd be like living with a chain-smoking quaalude. I mean, I could only imagine living with Sean Penn. First off, he's got a pack of cigarettes, a shotgun. He's walking around in his Uggs in your, you know, New York apartment, and you're like, and she's like, Sean, the trash needs to be taken out. And he's like, oh, I can't crash. I have to think about this.
Well, why don't you think about
this? I mean, I've seen him on Oprah and he can't get it together. Right. I mean, he can't act happy to be anywhere. Imagine he's on top of his piping hot 26-year-old European supermodel and he's like, yeah, sure, I'm humping you, but there's people still living in trailers and after the levees broke over there in New Orleans. Hold still, I'm going to change positions. Yeah. Can I smoke two cigarettes while I'm with love to you?
At the same time?
Well, I do feel like I have an open orifice. I could go ahead and put a cigarette in.
All right.
Could you imagine the world-class bummer he'd be to hang out? I would kill myself hanging around with that guy. Is there a more serious man on the planet?
No, but I'm looking at this now. He's doing something right. He started dating Susan Sarandon, right, in the 80s, and, of course, Madonna.
Yeah.
He's falling up his whole life. Then Robin Wright.
Jewel.
And then Jewel. And Robin Wright. And then Petra Nemkova.
So
he's ascending the ladder.
Eventually, when he gets into his 80s, he'll be dating a zygote. He'll die of secondhand smoke.
The hottest zygote on earth.
Zygotes are very fragile. I mean, you probably should crack a window if you're going to smoke in front of one.
And it'll be confusing because you'll see Sean 30 years from now and he'll be dating a woman who's in her 40s. And you're like, wait a minute, Sean. She's in her 40s. No, no. I'm dating her unborn child. She's pregnant.
That would be confusing.
She's just a host. She drags
the host
organism.
She drags
the fetus around. Right.
Well, I don't know if you realize
that they're going to have a ton to talk about.
Well, she survived the tsunami by clinging to a tree for 8 hours while her boyfriend was washed away.
Yeah. Now she's clinging to Sean Penn's tree.
Yeah.
While he smokes. It's going to be awesome. Them sitting around just talking around the penthouse.
Penthouse.
The penthouse.
Yeah.
Did you see it close range? No, I didn't, Sean. Was that the movie? Oh, Christ. Yeah, I starred in it with my brother. You have brothers?
Not anymore.
Well, they can relate.
What happened? Another? Was it another tsunami? not everyone, sweetie, not everyone dies of tsunami. Yes, but President Kennedy died. No, he was shot. He did not. Not everyone gets swept out to sea. I had a boyfriend. Yes, I get it. I understand. Oh, Chris, hand me those cigarettes, would you, sweetie? Oh, they're going to have a ton to talk about. Ton to talk about.
They both understand loss.
Not only is she like 20-something and he's 40-something, but...
47 and 28.
She's from a place that knows nothing about this culture.
Oh, there's
that. They have zero to talk about.
Right. There's the age gap. There's the cultural gap.
Mm. Do the Spicoli voice one more time. No. Come on, say Mr. Hand. No. Just do that. Do that thing. Do that thing where you come in the room and you wait and then you point and you go, I know that dude. Do that one. Do that. Give me the cigarettes and the shotgun. I'm going to smoke the shotgun.
He could do that, right?
I'll put a cigarette in the chamber of the shotgun. I'll smoke it that way. All right. Well, those kids, mazel tov to them. They're going to have a lot to talk about.
I mean, I bet Petra Nemkova was a huge fan of Madonna when she was a little girl.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Odds are.
Yes.
Okay, I'll get to this briefly so we can see the beautiful Lombardo.
David Walton is in from the show, too. He's easy on the eyes as well.
Yeah, I noticed him. And he smells nice.
That's right.
Elton John was on Larry King.
Mm-hmm. Take a little time to be quiet.
Literally on him? Because I feel like that would be news.
Would that break him?
It would break much more than his spirit.
Yeah.
Possibly a pelvis. Right. Yes.
Well, he was talking, amongst other things, about his AIDS Foundation party after the Oscars on Sunday night, and he was telling Larry King he was very disappointed because Prince was supposed to show up, and he never did.
It's always a disappointment when you want to play with someone like Prince, but I've had the luxury of singing with him twice on stage, so I understand the way he works, the way he thinks, and it's fine with me. I have so much admiration for him, and what he does is, I think he's personally the best entertainer in the world at the moment, by far, the greatest musician, the greatest showman. There's no one in the same league as him. And, you know, he's his own man. He's, you know, I understand him. Every musician is different. If they don't feel comfortable, then I don't expect them to get up and do it.
Right.
Did he just say Prince is Prince?
He said Prince is Prince, which means Prince is an a-hole.
That's what I heard. But the most talented entertainer in the world, according to Elton John.
So says the bloated Quimby.
Well, I will make haste with the news.
Please.
So we can bring in the
hobby. Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser.
All right, so let's get this straight. Michelle Lombardo, the new love of my life. Chop Liver, David Walton. From Quarter Life. New show on NBC premiering tonight. We'll bring them in. We'll talk a little turkey next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. From the new NBC series, Quarter Life, premiering tonight at 10 p.m. Michelle Lombardo and David Walton on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Michelle. Great to see you, David.
Oh, you too.
Wow, Michelle. I know I was heaping praise on you when you were in the green room, but Bald Brian, please back me up on this one. Even better in person, yes?
She's attractive.
She is. Well,
thank you.
Now, we can talk Quarter Life, but first, quickly, a little entourage, Michelle. Do you continue with your role as Billy Walsh's girlfriend?
We'll see. Since the writer's strike and stuff, I'm not sure what's going on right now with entourage, but I really hope so, because I love Kat. And I have to say, I loved being in my underwear on that show. So
yes,
it was fun.
As
she never wears pants,
you.
Right? No, she's not a big fan. She's pretty comfortable in her body, so.
I do think the nation is split down the middle on Billy Walsh. Either he bothers the bejesus out of everyone or everyone loves him. I'm in the camp that loves that guy.
Great character.
On that show. And David.
Yes, sir.
I don't know.
Not much.
I don't even know where to
be.
How about you tell us about Quarter Life?
There we go.
Quarter Life. Quarter Life is going to be on NBC tonight at 10 p.m. It's a story of six very close friends sort of trying to figure out what their life is all about and also really maybe trying to have sex with each other and stay friends. And it's sort of exactly how your 20s are. You're trying to figure out what you want to do, what your job's going to be, how to get laid, and how to stay friends.
From the creators, by the way, of my so-called life, 30-something, and a Blood Diamond. Talk about range. And Quarter Life, I guess, would be a reference to midlife crisis, quarter life. And by if you are, and I'm wondering, if you are, let's just say, 25 these days, can you expect to live to 100?
I know. It's the math isn't always correct if
but
you
a quarter
die
is
at
25.
But no, I'm saying maybe it is. I mean, think about the medical breakthroughs that have been made over the last 10 years. And if you're 25, you don't start getting sick for another 30 or 40 years. There are going to be things that are going to keep you going unless the dirty bomb gets us all. And by the way, if I find out that dirty bomb's coming, I'm going to Michelle's house. And there's going to be a knock on the door. There's going to be a look of desperation. I will be wearing fatigues, and I will just say, look, there's two ways we can go about the end of the world here.
I'll open the door for you.
Please. Please, let's not go out fighting, is what I'm saying.
I would say in the history of the Adam Carolla Show, I don't think there's been this much fuss over, and we've seen a lot of beautiful women.
Well,
this is at the top.
There's a lot of women that are passed off as beautiful women, but it turns out they're cute more than they are beautiful. Michelle over here, I think no one in this room would argue, is the real deal.
Wow.
She's got the goods.
Wow.
Also, I think not a household name yet, but I predict very big things. Michelle Lombardo, we saw the name, we're like, Michelle Lombardo, and we're like, yes, that person who we both very much like, realized who she was, and now the excitement is
I'll tell you how we
growing.
Can get that household name thing going. You can come to my household, and I can yell your name.
All right. Oh,
fantastic. We'll have to try that out. I don't think it's been used before.
David Walton.
That's my girlfriend on the show.
It
so
must be distracting working at Next to Michelle.
What about
and
in
also,
real life?
Yes, the lines
yeah,
being blurred.
In the show.
Yeah, we've got some pretty good chemistry. Michelle has not sort of responded to any of my advances so far.
Why not, David?
I don't know. I think she's
you
got some issues she's got to sort out.
Can't blur that line between business and personal relationships.
She's waiting for Billy Walsh to finish Medellin before she commits to another relationship.
Oh, I didn't tell you that Kat, you know, actually wrote that script. You know, she's the writer.
Oh, really?
In her own mind.
Character,
in my
right.
mind.
So is everyone single? Is everyone married? Does everyone have significant others in real life?
There was a lot of breakups during the show, I think.
Yeah
everyone's single.
Everyone's single.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Who's not?
Maite.
Oh,
character
yeah.
that plays Lisa. Mm-hmm. We're all single.
But this is where
in our minds.
This is where that's what I like. It's a state of mind
yeah.
and genitalia. Here's my point. You're young. You're attractive. You've hit it big with your first big network television show. You want to be single at this point. You'll be the toast of the town. And Michelle. Go ahead and name names. A lot of weird old sketchy producer guys and over-the-hill actors coming out of the woodwork and coming at
gosh.
You.
Oh, gosh. You know, I try mm-hmm. to keep my distance from all those people.
Do you ever get the creepy call from the publicist of the creepy actor that wants you to? Yes.
Not me personally. They will call my manager.
How?
So he gets the creepy phone call.
How low do you have to go on the sort of food chain to tell your publicist to call someone else's publicist to arrange a date?
Yeah. No, it feels like you're in grade school again. Oh, can you know, your parents calling somebody else's parents for a play date.
Right.
Now it's just your parents, who are your managers now, calling the other manager
but
to set up a date.
If it was with a guy you were really into, would you look at it as that pathetic? Be honest. You know what I mean?
That's a great question.
Like, give me an actor who you just think's very attractive or you very much respect beside myself. Give me
well,
an example
now
of someone. Now you're really going to have to work.
Hasselhoff.
Besides
you know, worked with David Hasselhoff.
Besides me in the hall. So who do you have in mind? Just you throw out an actor who you just think's a good actor.
You know, to join the bandwagon of many females, I would say Johnny Depp is definitely
Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
All right. So now this is a very pathetic move if Eric Roberts tries it on you. But if you get a call from Johnny Depp's publicist that says, all of a sudden, he's a smooth operator, right?
Yeah, he kind of is, actually.
Wow. Which goes to prove my point with hot chicks and any chicks. If it's a doofus guy, then it's a doofus move. But if it's a cool guy, then it's a cool move. but it doesn't really matter what the move is. It matters who's making the move, yes?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would still think twice. I'd be like, why did they have my manager contact me to go on a date with
as
them?
You're getting on a plane for France.
Exactly.
You would be thinking twice about Johnny Depp, right?
No.
He's too short for you, baby doll.
I know. I need a tall man.
You need a tall man like David Walton, who, by the way...
he's great height for
he's
me.
He's got to be coming in about 6'4", if he's a foot, yes?
Yes, sir.
How tall are you, Michelle? I'm 5'9 and a half, probably.
5'9. And wait, can we get your dimensions? Because it's radio. People at home want to know.
My dimensions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. My bra size. There we go.
Thank you.
I'm actually going to do this.
Please.
It's a 32D. Mm. All natural, of course.
All right. That's it.
That's all you need to know.
Get the paper towels.
I have a tiny waist.
That tells you all there is. A 32D, that's like a tiny rib cage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huge boobs.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We knew her when. We knew her when.
That's right.
Yeah,
we can
you can see the pictures on AdamCarolla.com and under my
bed. David got to see them up close on the show.
Right. David?
Yes, sir?
Can I touch your eyeballs? And then I'll never wash my hands again. Quarter Life is the name of the show. See if I'm lying. Turn it on tonight. See if David is all of 6'4 and Michelle is all of a D cup. Tonight, 10 o'clock, NBC, Quarter Life. Quick break. Back to wrap it up next. Well, time to give thanks where thanks are due. I want to thank Ed Begley Jr. Let me just ask you this. If you put Michelle Lombardo and Ed Begley Jr. on a wheel, would you give it a spin, Brian? 50-50, right down the middle. You're making sweet, sweet love to whatever it lands on. Do you give it a spin? I do, too, because my... When else are you ever going to get that shot?
When else are you going to get a coin flip chance at Michelle Lombardo?
All right.
Or Ed Begley Jr.
There you go. Living Like Ed, book out now.
That's Living Ed, Like Michelle, new book.
Ed Begley Jr. Mr. Skin, 08 Anatomy Awards. Mr. Skin, you get on your Lombardo work right now.
Early favorite for next year.
Yeah. Also, David Walton from Quarter Life premieres tonight, 10 o'clock on NBC. True TV. Check out TrueTV.com.
Used to be Court TV. Now they do all the real footage stuff. They dumped all the crappy court shows. And
right. So all the real shocking, most shocking, real hustle. I mean, it's all the stuff of people being eaten by sharks and crashing on motorcycles. Yep. As a matter of fact, I saw a guy riding a motorcycle got ate by sharks.
Jesus.
Right down PCH. And go to free2hd at AdamCarolla.com to hear more of this crap. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo. Oh, this is an awesome culture you guys have. Security, please keep everyone away from me so I can get the F out of this dump.